Welcome back to another episode of the Tiltcast, episode 133, Xbox Done.
And this week we're going to talk a lot about Xbox Reveal, and also talk a little bit about Dota 2. Yeah, and we're gonna talk about a little bit of E3 stuff.
Put that away, Trent! Yeah.
So, so let's just stay tuned.
And we're back. It's another episode of the Tiltcast, and this is Jason Toe Jam.
What's that?
It's a Rocky Star.
It's a Rocky Star.
You had to stop and think about what you're saying for a second.
Yeah, I did. Not trying to say podcast again. What can I say?
It's a podcast.
And across from me is Crazy Earl.
What's up, everybody?
To his left is Justin.
Hey, what's up?
And to his left, the Trent Show.
Yeah, what's up? You know, you say across from us and to the left, it seems like we're all together on a couch and you are just sitting across from us.
Man, he's a voyeur. You gotta be careful.
Earl and Justin are kind of sitting a little close together.
We have the same divide every time.
We always keep a divide going on.
But the way you make it out is like the room is positioned like an intervention.
Well, and then Jason's sitting across from us like fucking claw with his cat.
Yeah.
Did you know that though?
What?
I forgot what music video it was, but it was Weird Al played Mr. Claw. It was amazing.
Did they ever show his face?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When they did the Mr. Claw, when they did the seat turned around, it was Weird Al. I was like, oh, that's amazing. It's some music video. I don't even remember what the hell it was for. It was some gamer video, and it was these bunch of these girls, Team Unicorn something. I don't remember.
Teen Unicorn.
What the fuck?
Hey, I do a lot of stuff on YouTube, and one of the big people I subscribe to, and always has, this is a video you might like, and it had
YouTube
Weird Al.
YouTube or RedTube?
No, YouTube.
Are you sure? Not
YouTube. No, not at work. Not at work. It's not. I like that car. But no, they have the new YouTube stuff where it says, here, we recommend these videos for you.
Yeah. So. For those out there, do not go to RedTube.
Do not.
Throw that, or TubeBait. Yeah. Or TubeBait.com.
No.
No, never.
Yeah, because it just should be called TubeBait, not TubeBait number. Of course, I did get to see a wonderful video of a girl fucking us. What are they called? Care Bear. With a strap on one time on there.
Like, wow.
A friend of mine was like, here, check this out. She had this little Care Bear animal, you know, stuffed animal that she had put a strap on and then she mounted it. And I was just like, what?
Oh, so this was live.
Yeah,
it wasn't even a video.
It was on Red 8. Sorry, Tube 8.
I thought you meant she just like busted it out in front of you and you're like, whoa.
That would have been hot.
This
was still slightly hot.
I don't know.
At the same time, I was just like, what the
fuck? Like, this isn't where I park. Yeah, it is where I park my car.
Yeah,
Care Bear was embracing the Great American Challenge.
Actually, I think it might have been on YouPorn. No, it was YouPorn. That's where they sent me. Okay, it was YouPorn.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, a friend of mine was like, here, pull this up, type this in. I typed in my one, two, and I was like, wow.
Care Bear, that
bear cares a lot.
It cares enough to...
Apparently to 9 inches and 2 inches of girth.
It's like, congratulations.
You know what? It reminds me of that video on fucking Robot Chicken.
Which one?
With the...
The Snuggles Bear?
Yeah, the Snuggles Bear.
That's so wrong. That's the first one I ever saw. It's like, this is dirty and wrong.
I love that one. It's hilarious.
That one got me fully hooked on Robot Chicken.
It got me fully hooked on Rave.
I'm Rave.
Because I just wash all the emotional stains out. So, anyways.
Break out the steel wool.
Yeah.
But anyways, what you been doing this week, girl?
Working, got more people, and then Memorial Day happened.
Yeah, it's been a lot of time. You make it sound like there was a bombing or something.
Oh my gosh, no, it's just so many people. And then we had the big price increase, so that ruined everything. But no, just that, and then the last 3 days, just been family. Then eerily enough, it turned into like a Firefly Serenity. Bizarre thing, like I watched The Nerdist and it had the chick who played the companion, so that was like the beginning of it, and he was interviewing her because she's in that new show Homeland or whatever. So then that happened, and then I watched Independence Day, and that had old Adam Baldwin in it.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is weird, it's all starting to do that. And then this morning woke up out of no place thinking my daughter was up and she wasn't. Like, I'll just turn on the TV.
Wait, Independence Day, Adam Baldwin?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but you don't remember him.
When they go down into Area 51.
Oh, yeah.
He's like,
right.
Is that glass bulletproof?
Yeah. You're right. Okay, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I forgot he played the chief sergeant.
Yeah. And then, like I said, Serenity happened. So that was amazing. But no, just not. Then I watched some stuff, some Let's Play videos on YouTube. I mean, I didn't get to do much of it.
Yeah, he's also the guy that dropped Brent Spiner from The Next Generation.
That's true.
He
always plays a military.
My favorite part, Data deserved to die.
Yeah.
Just throw that out there.
Yeah.
His cat Spock, too.
It was a long time coming.
I like Brent Spiner.
I always enjoyed his evil brother.
Lore.
Yeah,
sad. I remember these fucking names.
I grew up with it too.
I wish I could forget about it.
But Laura was amazing, though.
I wish I could forget about
it.
It
was one of those things. It was like TV safe. My parents were good with me watching with them.
It's like Security Chief Officer Lieutenant Yar.
Mm. Yeah, Yar was kind of hot.
Yeah,
because she got to go by the black blob and it made her sad.
They're just like, I'm covering a white blob.
Amazing.
Then she got eaten. That was it for hot chicks on that show, pretty much. I mean, Deanna Troi had her moments.
Well, no, she wasn't hot until the movies. She didn't turn hot until the movies.
No, even that, I was just kind of like, not really into her. I mean, she's a chick that can kind of read my emotions. That's not good.
No.
They don't need to know when a slap's coming. So, yeah. That sounds horrible. And then Beverly Crusher just never, I mean, like, redhead milk.
You had a Sean Connery moment there with the slapping.
That's true. But yeah, Beverly Crusher, whatever.
Yeah.
What other women were on that show? Okay, now I will admit one thing. What was her name? The leader of the Borgs, the chick, what was her name?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck. I can't remember her name.
I can't remember
her name. I remember his. It was Locutus.
Yeah.
And I remember what was his name? What did they call him? Two? The board that they captured that they tried to
organize
was his name. I can't remember what his name was, but her. There's a moment or two where I was like, hey, she's kind of fuckable, even with the head thing going.
Yeah, but let's face it. After Tasha Yar, there wasn't really a chick on there that gave you any wet dreams until Voyager, and they brought in what's her face to play 7 to 9. I can't remember her name.
Jerry Ryan's.
Yes.
Yeah, or Jerry Ryan, whatever. I think Jonathan Frakes just threw a bitch fit until they fired every hot chick on the show because he just didn't want me to look more fabulous than he did. That sounds like something Jonathan Frakes would do.
That does.
Did he ever do anything else?
Like, I'm not just.
Yeah, he did. He did Fact or Fiction on Sci-Fi for a while.
Oh, come on, that's not the show.
Oh, that wasn't even.
Yeah,
Laverne really?
Burton did Reading.
That's like Dean Cain doing fucking Ripley's after Superman. Come on.
I watched it.
What the fuck?
I watched it.
I think Burton did Reading Rainbow just because it was something he wanted to do.
All respect to him.
I mean, he's done guest spots for forever.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Frakes?
Yeah.
Nothing.
And then Patrick Stewart, you don't really need to list off his resume.
Yeah,
it's just
a mile long.
Everything from fucking Life Force all the way up to fucking X-Men.
I mean, Brent Spinner.
That's a good movie. Life Force is a good
Brent Spinner had more of a career after TNG than Jonathan Frakes did.
He tried to go, you remember, was like, I'm a trained actor. It's almost like he tried to be what Patrick Stewart was.
Mm-hmm. Funny story, he was also in Independence Day, too.
Yeah,
but
he
noticed.
He got killed.
Adam Baldwin tried to save his life by shooting the alien through the glass.
You had to put a bullet in
Brent's
head.
If you didn't notice, Brent, after TNG, he went the completely, always playing the psycho part. Everything was the exact fucking complete opposite of Data.
Yeah.
Well, it's because he didn't want to play an emotionless. Well, I guess he would be playing an
emotionless
person.
Well, it's like Scotty. Yeah, the original Scotty. The guy stormed the beaches of Normandy was a fucking. He was a pilot. But either way,
lost
war
two
hero,
fingers.
Yeah, one middle finger. He actually, if you ever know, Scotty never has his middle finger showing in any scene because it wasn't there.
On his right hand.
Yeah. But either way, other than playing Scotty, that was it.
Yeah, that I'm sure it. That paid off.
It paid off, but I'm saying that was
the thing was, he had a career before that.
Yeah.
And then after Star Trek was over, he didn't feel the need to do anything else. He's like, my career's done. I'm good.
He's Scotty.
He fully embraced his Star Trek character.
Yeah. Even the Scotty off of TNG went over and became the Scotty off of...
Oh, what's his name?
Deep Space Nine or Voyager.
The other, fat Irish dude that got...
Yeah. But he went over, I think it was on... I think it was on Deep Space Nine. He just went over
there. Curly-haired dude.
Yeah, the curly-haired
dude. Yeah, he just went over there. Yeah, it was Deep Space Nine. Yeah. He used to watch that at night. And he went over there, and he was the teleporter dude on that one. Yeah. So...
It's like all Irish guys only know teleportation.
Pretty much.
All they do. They know how to make shit go from one point to the other. Yeah. That's it.
And fight.
I like Simon Pegg as Scotty.
No, I do like Simon Pegg as Scotty. But, you know, luckily Simon Pegg has a very...
He's good since
public, he passed. Well, he has a very public, you know, sorry, very high-profile career before... Star Trek, before the new Star Trek.
So yeah, he's like, in no danger of getting typecast in there at all.
You can always remember with Shaun of the Dead.
Fatty Run or whatever.
Or Space.
Fat Boy Run.
Yeah, Run, Fat Boy Run.
You're going to remember all that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But he does do a great job with Scotty.
He does.
Yeah. He does. I'm surprised. So, that's it. What you been doing this week, Justin?
Oh, I guess I'm done.
You are done.
You had nothing.
Well, I did, but then you just started going off on a tangent. But I'm good.
What else did you have, Daryl? Oh, you're just being nice.
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to buy this mod here, guys.
This is why I don't let him talk, because most of the shit is fucking whatever.
It's whatever it was.
It's just like, well, I did have... No, you didn't. You had nothing.
I have no friends.
Yeah.
No friends at all.
So, I saw Star Trek last night. I'm not going to say much about the movie other than I liked it a lot. I think there's some magic lost after that first movie, but that being said, that movie's really damn good.
It's epic.
It's pretty... It's... Without using that word, because I hate that word, it's good.
For what it is, no, it is... It's fantastic. It sets it up really nicely.
So. Well, J.J. Abrams is...
A lot of lens flare. There's still a lot of lens flare, but
he's targeting it at more of a general audience than going after the nerds specifically.
Oh, he's totally tying in the nerds too.
Yeah.
Oh, there's, no, he is.
No, I mean, like, watch the movie. He's buttoning up a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty happy with how he's doing it. I don't know about Star Wars. I don't want the same guy doing both, but
I don't know, man. I might actually have a after seeing
really. After seeing these, I think I
need a break.
Okay.
Well, Star Wars isn't going to be due out until 2015 anyways.
Well, he's got those four writers that he's been using forever, so, I mean, he's got...
Well, Lindelof is one of them. Lindelof is the guy who did...
What's his name? Is it Kirkman, or...?
I think so.
He's got the same guys that have been doing Lost and Fringe and, obviously, Star Trek and everything else.
Revolution now.
Yes, I need to watch that.
Bad Robot.
But, yeah, they've been doing a pretty good job at what they're doing.
He also has Kripke on that one, too. So, there are two great hits right there.
But, I mean, other than that, I had a lot of fun watching that last night. Trying to think what else I did. Gaming, I did a lot of that. I did a whole lot of gaming. I didn't have Memorial Day off. I had to work Saturday night. I had to work today. Today being Memorial Day. I played a lot of Dota. I mean, I played a lot of Dota.
One or two?
Two.
Good deal.
To the point of last week I started off with 15 hours played. I think I'm at 55 now.
Jeez.
So I'm getting the hang of that. I'm getting to the point where I'm not losing any matches. Now, granted, I've put a lot of practice time in, and I think the way to play that game is to random until you find somebody you like.
So who's your guy? Who'd you find?
Oh, a lot of characters.
No, but I thought you said you're looking for just that one. Did you find just the one?
Well, so, like, I paid for some matches so that I could watch some of the tournaments and see how the big boys do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that with the tournaments, you're going to see that it's not all pick, but, like, captain's pick. You do captain's pick, each team can pick five people they can veto that nobody can pick. So, and it goes on a timer, and I got into one of those matches, which was really interesting, because that's how they do tournament style.
That's cool.
So you got 30 seconds to pick everybody, and it goes back and forth, and you got your bands, like, two bands apiece, and then it goes back and forth to picking, and so everybody's kind of picking somebody that'll be good versus the other lane or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. But, after watching some matches, I got a feeling for some characters that I wanted to play, and then kind of dove right in. So, randoming, I think I've played probably about 50 characters now.
That's cool.
I found some ones that I really, really like. I really like the Drow Ranger. I like. There's a lot of characters that you don't have to do anything but get good items and just pew pew to win, so to speak. Like, you just... The Drow Ranger has a couple of support abilities, but her auto attack is fucking powerful. So, she's got a slow attack and a silence attack, and then her ultimate is not an ultimate you click. It's just... It gives you extra damage.
That's cool.
So your auto attack does like half of what somebody's ultimate does, and you can shoot like 2 arrows a second. So you can just go in and just like murder face the whole team.
Now, is the like the arrows unlimited, or do you have to buy the arrows?
No, you don't buy arrows. So
murder face.
But yeah, it's like I've been playing a lot of archers. I'm getting really good with Drow Ranger. I kept randoming her, and I did really good. So I did that. And there's a character named Klinks, which is a skeleton. That has his ultimate ability is eat something and you get a whole bunch of health back.
That's cool.
So you can eat a creep and get a whole bunch of health back, but he also has a really strong auto attack and a fire arrow, and it can disappear and run faster for a significant amount of time. So I'll go in, harass enemy, jump back out, and I'm getting to the point where the live matches where I'm playing versus other players, granted I've only done about five or six, right now I haven't lost a single match.
That's cool.
But that's also because I practiced with bots for probably 15 hours. I practiced co-op versus bots for probably 20 matches. Mm-hmm. And then I jumped into some of the live matches. I'm probably over-prepared at this point because I've randomed so many different characters that I got a good handle on.
You got to, though.
So, I mean, I tried playing some other characters. There's one named Meepo that's like a little rat dude that his ultimate is he creates copies of themselves. And so... The idea is to plant these other copies like in different spots of the map or micromanage them so that you can teleport to each of them. Oh, the problem is if one of them dies, then you die.
Ooh.
So you gotta, I mean, you could go all in with all four of your guys and just like face melt somebody.
But if they get a good shot on one of them,
then you're dead. So.
That sucks.
But he does a shitload of damage when you start face melting like that.
It's like you don't have to get touched to die.
But that's the trick. Like, I got really good with one called Bloodseeker. Bloodseeker gets health back every time I kill something.
Well, that's cool.
So I can go in and just start melting face and then getting health back. I'm trying to remember. I played Doom. Doom will absorb the abilities of other creatures, like in the jungle. So you go in and you start fighting all these random mobs, and then you grab one that has a good ability, and then you get gold for that. And then you can use that ability as part of your regular rotation. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I tended to get the ones with passive abilities so I didn't burn mana. But yeah, I played so much fucking Dota, and I watched a lot of matches. I've been watching the tourneys, but like some of the cooler matches I've been in was like it was an all random. So like I clicked on every single type of match I could get into, and one of the ones I'd get into was all random, and everybody randomly got a character in a different class. So there was one agility, one intelligence, one melee, and one support. And then I'm trying to remember what the last one was.
Carry.
Maybe a carry. And so it forced you all to play one of those.
That's cool.
But at random, all of them. So you just got the computer basically picked for you, and nobody could pick anything different, which is good to learn with.
Yeah.
And I think on that one, I ended up getting one called Slardar, which I didn't get very good with, which kind of sucked, but that's okay. So
you won, though, right?
Yeah, I still
won.
That's
all that matters then.
Like, I'm getting to the point where, like, I'm still going, like, 8-1-5 or something like that. So 8 wins, 5 losses. You know, a few assists. I've been trying to get Trent to play, but he's been busy this week.
Yeah, I've been busy. I've been playing on my own when I get a chance. Like, out, so.
Well, and I played with... I recruited somebody. I found Apocalypse Rend. He's pretty good. So me and him played a lot of co-op matches and some of the regular practice matches. We didn't get any live matches, but I think we're going to this time around.
Yeah, he actually sent me a request.
Yeah, I told him to friend you.
Yeah.
So that's 3 people for our 5-person team.
I've got it installed, I just haven't been able to log into it yet.
There you go.
And I've been talking to some other people. I know John off Carousel wants to play. Mm-hmm. So he messaged me on Twitter. He's like, do you want a partner? I was like, I might. Because he wants to learn too. And it is kind of intimidating. But I think the best way to do it is pay like $5.99, spend a few hours watching matches because they're really good.
Yeah.
It's really fun watching the commentary from the announcers.
Mm-hmm.
Which maybe I'll show one of you guys on break or something if you want. But the commentary is usually really good. It's like watching a sports game, like any kind of football game. You got two guys going back and forth.
Sports ball.
Yeah,
sports ball.
Like sports ball, yeah. But yeah,
I mean, think Justin doesn't watch.
I don't really watch a lot of sports.
You don't have to.
I know that. I watch a lot of esports. I watch a lot of StarCraft.
Don't let this bully over here tell you you have to. It's okay. You don't have to.
So, but yeah, I do watch a lot of esports, and I'm starting to really get into it. Especially Dota 2 is really fun to watch. And again, I thought it was going to be really slow. Like, I got in a one match. It was really long. It was just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And finally, I was like, but again, I'm not playing team matches. We're playing, they call it pup games. It's just,
yeah.
I'm throwing in myself. I'm throwing in my, you know, my ticket, and, you know, other people are picking it up, and it's just a complete random match. And so the problem with that match was everybody was choosing a lane, and he had two people pushing two lanes and just going back and forth. And finally, I was like, look, we've been turtling for like 25 minutes. Can we just like go all bottom lane and just obliterate, and then go to the middle lane and obliterate, and go to the left or top lane and obliterate? We did that, and like 10 minutes later, we won. It's like, see, we just need a little bit of teamwork. So it's fun. I think the hardest thing though is just getting used to the mechanics. Like the last hit thing, like I was used to it from League of Legends, but I thought I was being slick by auto attacking. Obviously, I'm kind of a noob with that. The idea is for if people haven't played a MOBA, you want to get the last hit in on an enemy to get gold. And so the idea is let your creep, your two armies will mesh together and they'll fight and they'll stay in the same spot. You just wait till one's about dead, then you throw out one hit, kill that one, then you get like, you know, 40 or 50 extra gold. And you do that, you know, for 10 or 15 minutes and you've leveled up and you've got money to buy better items. And so the trick to that is not getting harassed by the enemy team while you're trying to do that. Because they'll do the same thing. They'll do that, and then they'll come over and try to, like, attack you across any lines a little bit and harass you to get you to back off and not get XP. But Dota 2, I mean, is just, like, the better I'm getting at it, the more confident I'm getting at it. Like, I feel more confident with my ganks and things like that to where I don't feel as intimidated by things. Like, I know how far I can push my characters, more or less, so that I don't get myself caught in a corner. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, I played, obviously, a shitload of Dota 2. Got all the Xbox news. I mean, this is probably being a more news-heavy episode than anything else.
Yeah.
Watched some BSG. You know, did laundry, other unimportant things. And
nice.
Just hung out. But that was pretty much my week.
Nice. All right. Well, Trent.
Play Dota. Yeah, no, I won't go into that too much.
Well, what character did you get into?
Oh, I was playing the Centaur.
You still sticking with him?
Well, no, I was playing him, but I switched around a bit. I was playing him, I played Zeus.
Zeus is hard to get a hold of.
Yeah,
get the hang of. He's so squishy.
He is. I kind of put him off for a little bit. I was doing the Knight?
Dragon Knight?
Oh, yeah, Dragon Knight, which I actually do enjoy playing as him. Tried that. A handful of other ones I was kind of going through as, and I played that for a few hours, a number of nights this last week. I don't remember how many. And a couple times this weekend. Did that. reinstalled. Oh, no, sorry, it was already installed. BioShock Infinite. Kicked that back up, and I was going to go through on Ultra Settings with 1999 mode. And
so just, you can beat it.
Yeah, I just started that up. I really haven't gotten that far. I'm at the fair.
Oh, okay, so you just started.
Yeah, right before you get to the actual auction. Did that. Went to go see Star Trek, of course. Did that. I also saw the Good Day to Die Hard. The new Die Hard 5. Yeah, I watched that. I don't know. Like I said, I liked it better than Part 4. So, what else?
Everybody has their preferences on this movie, so. Like me, I hate 2, but
I like
other people
one.
Like 2.
I like 1, 2, and 3. So.
Yeah.
I go to, it's kind of like with the Rocky movies.
There's
certain
one,
Rocky
like
dance at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Die Hard. Like, I always it goes 1, 3, 4, and I haven't seen 5 yet. Sorry, now it's just 1, 3, 4, 2.
I like every Rocky movie.
I enjoy all the Rockies,
like,
but you rank them in a certain order.
The only one that I really didn't have too much of a love for was it Rocky 4 where he had the apprentice, the young blonde?
No, that's Rocky 5.
That was Rocky 5.
Yeah, 4 is
that
the Russian.
One. Yeah, Rocky IV is Russian. Part 5 is the one that I was just kind of like...
With old Tommy Morrison?
Well, he was originally Sylvester Stallone wrote it where he was supposed to die at the end.
Yeah.
The street fight. The kid was supposed to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And, or sorry, he was supposed to beat the kid up and
yeah.
he was going to go over and lay down and die.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, you need to keep going. And I would have been happy with him dying at the end of that.
Yeah.
You know what makes me funny is Rocky VI. He reminds me of you watched Death of Smoochie.
Yeah.
He reminds me of the guy. He's like, ooh, dong. Yeah. This guy ends up dying in the beginning, but he's the boxer. I was like, that reminds me of Rocky.
Yeah, the Irish Mafia's little brother.
It's like, don't bother you. Don't worry Smoochie. Your head. We'll take care of this from here. Yeah. You're a good boy. You go home.
That movie's awesome.
I love Death of Smoochie. When he did his dark comedies, starting with Insomnia and going for us, like, then he stopped. I was like, why'd you do that?
I also like Throw Mama from the Train is one of Danny DeVito's really good movies. I love that movie. It's really good.
Yeah.
What's it? Mother Fatale. But anyways, did that. Pretty much nothing else, man. I just enjoyed my extended weekend. I had the day off today, and I hate that when you have the day off and you wake up and you're sitting around, you're doing stuff, and you're like, it feels like Monday.
Yeah.
You know, this shouldn't feel like Monday. This should feel like Sunday.
Today didn't feel like a Monday. It was a week.
It did for me.
Yeah, it did for me. Yeah.
We worked.
Yeah, it did.
Say, the last couple days, it's like, man, it's like 9 at night. We look at it, it's like 7. It's like, it should be later.
Yeah.
So, we had a good weekend, though.
And I just been trying to stay out of the weather because I don't like the hot weather.
There you go. I don't like the hot weather.
Well, it's been sticky as hell today.
It's been nasty. So, I went out for a little bit, and I just was like, fuck this. I'm going home.
We had a nice little washing of the car, and my daughter was just getting the hose, and she's getting all kinds of wet and stuff. So, we got kind of cooled down with that. She go,
you sound excited there, Earl.
It was fun. It was a good day. It was a good family day. It was a good family day. You always, when you spend time with your family.
So usually when a guy says, I gave my daughter the hose, that's when I
tune
out.
No, I'm talking about the water hose. No,
I'm talking about the water hose. Anyways, but other than that, nothing else really, just random shit.
There you go.
Jason. Nice.
I tried to get Dota 2 just to find the time. Found more time to brush up on Left 4 Dead 2, so I'm not completely rusty for Gauntlet this weekend.
We
gotta
do that this weekend.
Dude. Oh, I'm gonna be rusty as heck. I gotta go rent it. Because Blockbuster, it's in high demand, so I'm just gonna go to the
It's still a very popular game.
Yeah.
So, no, but with Gamefly, you can get it immediately.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm trying to go to the little family video.
Why don't you just get it at Gamefly?
To be honest with you,
because I have Mass Effect 3, but I don't want to try it yet.
To be honest with you, it's worth buying. Just jump on Craigslist. There's always somebody on there who has it, that they're just listing it for like 15, 10 bucks or something like that.
Sure. So. Yeah, so I've been brushing up on that, so not completely rusty. Spent Friday night, Saturday, and good portion of yesterday morning setting up a pool. That was fun.
Nice.
Everyone should try to set up a 14x4 pool.
Was it like a background pool?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but my entire yard slopes a downgrade that... See, from the back of my house to the fence at the back of my yard, it's about a 3-foot drop. So trying to level out a spot for this pool.
So you had to fill in. Did you fill in dirt or just dig a hole?
No, I ended up digging into the yard and then filling some of it back in to even it out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not fun at all.
No.
Yeah. Well, and normally I would have had Rusty to help me, but since he just drove back this week from Michigan, I was like, man, I don't want you out there. In the yard, you haven't even recovered from driving 20 hours home yet. So,
yeah, it's no fair.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I think Hyper off of Xbox messaged me, and I guess he's got a Wii U, so I think me and him are gonna play some Monster Hunter.
Nice.
So, I'll get to play out, try some multiplayer out.
Justin found a partner.
Why didn't you play? Yay. You got Wii U.
I didn't pick up Monster Hunter. It's a fun game. I just been busy, so I haven't really bought much of any games. I haven't bought Metro yet. I haven't purchased.
Yeah, Metro's fucking epic.
What else came?
Why don't you just let him buy it?
I haven't purchased Dead Island Tide yet. I just been really. I've been focused on a few other things right now.
Well, the thing is, I got Left 4 Dead or Left 4 Dead. Resident Evil Revelations out right now, and I'm just not feeling Resident Evil.
That looked interesting.
Yeah.
I thought that looked
really good. Lots of handheld re-release. It's a cool game. It is. I'm not going to trash it. Actually, it's a fun game. But I haven't put off buying that. I've just been focused on other stuff. I got this camping trip coming up, and
when is that?
That's at the end of this. The 19th, the 20th, and the 21st is when I'll be gone. So it's like Thursday, Friday. Well, Wednesday night to sometime on Saturday.
Yeah, I'll be house sitting for my parents at the end of that month. Mm. I guess I'm just going to take my laptop and play a bunch of Dota.
Nice.
Where are you going?
I got to take care of my parents' dogs.
Oh.
So for like 4 days.
Well, that's cool.
He's going to get naked and let them just lick all over him.
Remember peanut butter. It ain't cheating.
Little peanut butter.
It ain't cheating if you put peanuts.
It's just buttermilk.
What was that movie, Road Trip? Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He's like, is it cheating if you put peanut butter? Let's not lick it off. Oh, DJ Qualls?
Yeah. No, I remember when he pulls out the chick's underwear. It's smell my finger. Yeah, I remember that.
Those guys were so mean. That was hilarious.
Smell my finger just made me think of Ready to Rumble. Right there at the beginning.
So there's that one.
Yeah, we keep a lot of threads at work. And one of the things we were talking about, of course, me and Chuck from Elseworlds always try to throw something in under the radar that nobody else will kind of know what we're talking about. I say he said something about don't be jelly, and I was like, no, I want to be peanut butter. And then something came around, and I was like, no, I just want to. I'm going for the All American sandwich. He's like, you're going for the All American challenge, or the Great American Challenge, are you? It's like, yeah, I want to be a gladiator.
Just nobody caught it for the longest time. Then I got a couple of sightings, like, did you really just say that in the manager thread? And it's like, hey, they didn't catch it.
So there you go. So that was her today.
Yeah, I was going to put just a couple bears in the woods.
Fast.
Yeah, it's really
awkward. 1 minute.
Yeah, really awkward.
I was showing you pictures of what happened.
We geeked out on some stuff off the show. We could bring up just extended to 40.
Well, we got plenty of news. You want to just take a break and then go to news?
Do you want
to
geek out a little bit?
Let's geek out a little bit.
Just probably 15 minutes we can do that. Okay, now you said J.J. Abrams uses the same writers. I don't really have a problem with that because everything that they've done since they started going into the movies has been high quality.
Yeah.
Like Super 8 is a great fucking film. I do love Super 8.
Super 8's really it's almost a throwback to like classic.
And my wife actually enjoyed that movie. Yeah. She's not a big science.
It was nostalgic and it was well written and it was very
Nostalgic.
It reminded me of like my childhood kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it reminded me of watching Close Encounters of the Third Kind for the first
beats
time.
Beats that. It reminds me of watching Amazing Tales.
Yes.
Boom. Right there.
Yep.
No, that was Steven Spielberg's TV show.
Yep.
That was a great fucking show. What the fuck are you talking about? I will shock you.
What are you doing there, Shocker? Is that your wrestling name?
Yeah.
I'll shock you.
Sorry, I'll rule you. Was that I'll shock you.
Anyway. What was it, Hulk Hogan? Oh, I was going to tell you. Yesterday, you posted, a couple days ago, you posted the doll that you got.
Mm-hmm.
And then, no lie, like 6 hours after that, freaking movie was on. I was
over
like,
the top.
Boom! I watched it. Wow. I'm like, you see this? That's why. She goes, what the hell is that? I'm like, that's an over the top action figure. She goes, it looks like a doll. I'm like, it's an action figure.
It's a post.
Now we're watching it.
Postable figure.
I said, now we're watching it. And she just shook her head the whole time while she's playing Candy Crush.
for people listening, what happened was my project manager. We were in a meeting in the early morning with my boss. And he showed us this video that started off with like Rocky from Balboa from the last movie, where he's talking about, you know, it's not a matter of like, you know, how hard you get hit, it's what you do when you get up, which is the same thing he said to his son like in previous movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there in the meeting, I was like, that's Rocky. We were all joking around, and we got to the end, and so he was like, you like Rocky? I was like, yeah, I fucking love Rocky.
Rocky's amazing.
They do Rocky marathons all the time. I love watching those. And my project manager's like, I got something for you when I get back from lunch. He comes back from lunch and he has this like giant 12-inch fucking
Posable action figure.
Yeah, posable action figure in the box from like the 1980s.
Oh, Sylvester
Stallone from Over the Top.
Arm wrestling. Amazing.
Oh, dude.
Back when movies had a plot and it made sense.
That didn't have a plot. That
it did. He had to go arm wrestle for his son.
I know. What?
That is a plot.
When does that happen?
That is a plot. What about these movies nowadays that are like 18 movies in one? No.
One movie.
Only in Schwarzenegger. Sorry, only in Stallone's world would he have to arm wrestle for his son.
He's a trucker. Why wouldn't you?
Well, his son's dead.
Are you a trucker? Are you a trucker? Do you know their world? No, you don't.
I don't know.
No, you don't. He did. He knew he was a trucker. He was letting you in on his lie.
No. Earl speaking from personal experience, he goes down to the truck stop every Saturday night.
No. This is him arm wrestling for other guys at Dreamland Bookstore for gay mags. That's what it is.
Listen, what I do with my life is my business.
He's like, I'll arm wrestle for the dainty fair boy.
Bring it.
Yeah.
Bring it.
You gotta do the finger thing where it's make a crunch. Pop all your knuckles just by making a fist. Anyways. But, yeah, he bought me that. I've been sitting next to the coffee maker now. I took a picture I put on Facebook.
Oh, it's amazing.
But now, J.J. Abrams, now, what he does in Star Trek, I really do enjoy. I mean, I love the original Star Trek films.
Mm-hmm.
Not all. Like, The Journey Home sucked ass. Sorry.
You didn't like the whales?
That's the whales.
You didn't like the whales?
I didn't like the whales.
Pristine, beautiful creatures.
The Journey Home was a horrible fucking movie.
Yeah, they should have never, ever let William Shatner direct that.
That should have been a Christmas episode.
Yeah.
Just get the cast back together, do a 30-minute spot. Oh, this thing showed up. It's going to let's get whales that come back. Boom. Oh, it's done.
Yeah.
It's done. Chekhov doesn't get caught by the fucking...
I started to say, that was the only good part about that whole movie was Chekhov's whole adventure.
Yeah, that was funny. But now, and he's Russian, it's the middle of the 80s, so boom, automatically. But now, it played too much on the whole xenophobia at the time, being like, oh, well, just because he's Russian, he must be evil. But either way, it was stupid. The first Star Trek, with V'ger is like my all. I mean, come on, you go from doing the TV show, and then you bring out this monumentally badass movie that has V'ger, and it was epically amazing. It was awesome as shit. Even the graphics in it are still really cool when they're inside of V'ger. It's fucking awesome. I fucking love that. And
That was such a step up from the show graphics wise. It was
And then they had Star Trek Wrath of Khan.
Wrath of Khan
fantastic.
Listen,
Return of the Botany Bay.
The greatest.
Yeah, Return of the Botany Bay. It's one of my
And then you get to see on the show how they tie it in. Him and his children.
Oh, the original,
And you're like, oh, you're amazing.
Yeah.
You just love Khan.
Yeah, and then The Search for Spock.
Yeah.
It's a good episode. Sorry, but it was a good movie. Journey Home sucked. Last Frontier.
Was that the one?
Oh, yeah, Undiscovered Country and Final Frontier. That was an answer.
Which one's the one where they get trapped in prison?
That is Undiscovered
Country.
Yeah, that's the one that starts off. That's the one that starts off with the fucking Klingon.
Yeah, the Klingon blood.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one where Kirk is. He blames the Klingons for killing his son, which, to be honest with you,
which happened in 3.
Yeah, which they kind of did, but at the same time, his son was an arrogant, pompous ass, just like his dad. And
he didn't have the mad skills to stay alive through all of it.
Yeah, and Kirk didn't have the, he just didn't have the ability to admit it,
Yeah.
That just because it was one Klingon, this particular Klingon called the Sunny, he blamed the entire race. But he learned to kind of forgive them, but he was prime candidate for framing for the murder of the Klingon ambassador who wanted to bring peace.
Just that whole scene at the beginning with all the fucking floating blood and stuff.
Yeah,
oh, that's so cool.
That was so cool back then.
Yeah,
you
go like
and watch it now; it looks like complete shit.
Yeah, it looks horrible. But it's
I don't want to watch them again now.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's one of my favorite. I get ready to buy all of them on Blu-ray. They have a Blu-ray collection disc set that
like $150.
No, it's not.
Six and two are the ones that I can break out at any time.
Yeah.
If there's nothing on TV,
Wrath of Khan's
I can break
on Netflix.
Either one of those out.
Really?
Yeah, just, Wrath of Khan's on Netflix, man. Yeah. They've been promoting it because of the new Star Trek. So.
Yeah,
and I love Wrath of Khan, like Ricardo.
Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah. He did a great job, but the guy in the new Star Trek, fucking rot. Sorry, you have to see it. You need to go see it.
Oh, I will. I will. I just didn't have time.
Listen,
this
if there was no Ricardo Montalban, there would be no Sam. Just saying. You gotta have a predecessor.
Yeah.
You gotta have a predecessor.
But I enjoyed it. It was, I enjoyed the new Star Trek. I thought it was fantastic and where they went with it. And I mean, great casting, like you and I talked about the other week.
Yep.
Was Carl Urban as Bones. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Plays Judge Dredd. Does a great fucking job at it. Plays, I didn't really care much for him in Priest, but I didn't like that movie anyways. So.
That movie was...
Yeah, you didn't like Priest?
That, so I didn't like
that movie was a bastardom of a extremely good Korean manga.
If you just take it for like what it is, it's alright.
The movie is just... I mean, Carl Urban, I liked what they were doing with his character, making him kind of reminiscent of Clint Eastwood.
I would have liked to see more... of that character.
Yeah.
And a little bit less of Paul Buckney's character.
Well, what's funny is when I was looking at, when I was watching Priest, I was watching Carl Urban as the bad guy, and I was like, you know, he screams Clint Eastwood Pell Rider. I was like, you know, if they ever decided to do a revival of Western movies.
Like they're trying to do with Lone Ranger and it looks like shit?
No, no, not that type of Western. That's fucking stupid.
No, we're talking about the spaghetti Western.
We're talking about 310 to Yim, which I already did a remake of already. True Grit, they did a remake of that. Then you've got Pell Rider.
Which was good.
Yeah. You got Pell Rider. You've got, forgot the name of it. It's one of my favorites. John Wayne, where he's escorting the wagon of people down.
Crap.
It was Ford directed it. I forgot the fucking name of it. Goddamn. I did a paper over it in college because we had to watch it. I don't fucking remember the name of it. That was actually a good one. Anyways,
Which one is it?
It's John Wayne, directed by Ford.
Where he's...
He's escorting a caravan. Wagon? Sorry, he's escorting some people.
Wagon train.
Yeah, a wagon train, basically. Well, it's
They carried it in Wagons East. I can't remember.
I don't remember the name of it. By the way, it was a great movie. Those are the good classic westerns. Like Pell Rider's a great one. That's one of my favorites. Yeah. I will admit that. He just reminded me of Clint Eastwood from back in those days.
Jesse Wales.
But it's like it's what they were trying to do in the 90s when they did like Tombstone and all that
Tombstone's good.
And yeah, Tombstone's a great movie. it was this brief blip in the 90s where they're trying to do these old wild western movies, and they actually did a good job. Except for Young Guns. And
Tombstone and Wild Earp are two of the best.
Yeah, Wyatt Earp is one of my favorites with Kevin Costner. He actually did a good job in that
movie. He did.
So, yeah. And also, Dennis Quaid in fucking Tombstone as Doc Holliday? Wasn't it? Yeah, no, that was in Wyatt Earp.
No, Quaid was in Wyatt Earp.
Yeah, that was in Wyatt Earp, yeah.
And it was... Val Kilmer in Tombstone.
Yeah, that was it. Okay, yeah. Dennis Quaid played Doc Holliday and fucking Wider. But no, once again, though, he did a fantastic job. I mean, it's Dennis Quaid. Dude, you don't expect it.
I've always said Dennis Quaid and Val Kilmer, two of the most underappreciated 80s and 90s actors ever.
Yeah. Yeah, well, John Cusack's been appreciated a bit more over the years. He's gotten more and more jobs, and he does a good job with it. Val Kilmer, though, he just kind of got really weird.
Wow. Yeah, after he did Saint,
Saint is one of my...
Saint is one of... Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Orbital on the soundtrack, fucking badass.
He was the dude on the couch.
Yeah. There you go.
And True Romance.
Yeah.
He's the dude on the couch.
And then...
he saw Elvis.
Yeah. And then Salt and Sea. Did you ever see that one?
Yeah, that movie's cool.
That is by far Val Kilmer's best fucking movie ever. Is Salt and Sea. That's one of my favorites. So, but anyways, I'm actually happy that J.J. Abrams is, for right now, I'm happy that J.J. Abrams has been taking
Star Wars.
He's gonna
mess up one time, you guys are gonna just totally destroy him.
Now, I stand by some directors, like Kubrick. I stood by Kubrick.
I'd say if there's one director out there right now that I would trust to revitalize Star Wars, it would be J.J. Abrams.
He has that good sci-fi.
And it's not based solely on Star Trek. It's based on Fringe. It's based on Lost. I just don't see anyone else having the right vision for Star Wars.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like he has that good dark approach to science fiction. And that's what Star Wars really needs, in my opinion, especially going into
That's something that outside of Star Trek in specific spots throughout the two different series, which was Deep Space Nine and Voyager, was primarily 90s.
Yeah, well, you got Enterprise that came out.
Yeah.
Things sucked.
Yeah, but they completely went away from the darker edge of it. But that's been missing from sci-fi.
Yeah,
J.J. Abrams brought that back in Fringe.
Yeah.
He brought back a little bit of that darker side. Same thing with Lost at the end.
Yeah,
you know. So I trust him.
Yeah, I do trust him. I trust him to make a good attempt at it as long as Lucas keeps his fucking fat ass fingers out of it.
And that's that's going to be the challenge right there.
Yeah. Because like, no, I think you should have a Binks character.
If Lucas is going to hand it over to someone else, he needs to let them run with it and not get in the way.
Yeah. It's like, have they talked about any of the details as to who's script writing? Or is it... Because I don't think they're using... I know that they have stuff from Lucas, but are they rewriting the whole script? Or is it...
From what I understand, it is going to undergo rewrites from his... He doesn't even have full script as much as he's just got a slight treatment.
Yeah, so it's going to have all of his writers, which I know... The main one I remember the name of is Lindelof, because Lindelof went off and he wrote Prometheus and stuff like that. And Star Trek, he worked with them on Star Trek as well.
I'll be surprised if Lindelof and Kirkman don't end up having a blurb in there somewhere.
Oh, they have good eyes for they have good minds for sci-fi stuff. Plus, I do like it's like when you look at the new Star Trek that came off when, like, the first Star Trek movie kind of had its own story it was running along. This next one is a parallel of a previous Star Trek movie, and the way that they kind of wove it in and out was so well done. You know, just things are, that were changed and things that weren't changed. It was just so well done. Yeah. When you go in there, you're gonna love it.
They made it fit into the new universe. Yeah. Really well, in other words.
Yeah, they did a really good job with it. So I think Justin wants to go on break now. He's done nerding now.
Oh, it's not that. I got about 15 news pieces we can do.
Ah,
oh,
jeez.
Do you guys
even want to take a break, or do you just want to go through with this?
Oh, I gotta take an antihistamine. I'm fucking done.
Okay.
What happens when you drink, like, protein shakes and then chug an energy drink?
So. All right.
No, it's allergies.
All right, then. Guess we'll go ahead and take a break and come back with some Xbox news and other various.
All right. We'll see you guys in a minute.
Still nerding out all the way through the break.
Some Star Trek, some Godfather,
some Primal Fear.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
That's not a nerd movie, but either way, that's a good movie.
They're good movies,
Edward Norton. Played a psycho.
The overall evolution of some actors.
Yep.
That was our topic.
Oh, Harry Connick Jr.
Yeah, Harry Connick Jr., Ed Norton.
He went the full retard and lost out. So.
Yeah. So, did we want to go ahead and jump into news? Or?
Yeah, I got some stuff. I mean, we can do that or the comments or whatever. We forgot to figure out what we're going to do for a question. So.
Do comments.
Yeah.
We can do comments. I got that.
Yeah.
Last week we asked people, what level of difficulty do you like to play your games on? Do you like to play for challenge or just for the story? We got a plethora of responses.
Yay, plethora.
No, Matt says, always on normal. I don't like hard for the sake of being hard. I like the challenge, but not one where, oops, sorry, on the previous difficulty you got hit and got a scratch. On this, however, you get hit and we take your face. Brian says, I'm just happy if all games are not as difficult as Dark Souls. Most of the time I prefer to play through on normal just to see the story. If the game turns out to be one that I want to play again, then I play it on a higher difficulty.
But Dark Souls is not that hard.
It's not. No.
It's just a matter of adapting and timing.
Yep.
It's a good game, though.
Yeah, great game. Dark Souls.
Dark Souls. Scott says, I always start at default and replay it at each increasing level available. I tend to play for both challenge and story. If I have to pick just one, I'll go for story. We had Shazam says, depends on the type of game. If it's a stealth or a shooter, I play on hard. Otherwise, whatever the default setting is. I need to expand this. Rusty says, I play on standard difficulty. I feel the story flows best that way. There should be just enough challenge to put some suspense to boss fights. I rarely play on the hardest setting anymore. I've wrecked a few walls more than a couple of controllers. Angela says,
medium, regular usually for the story. On that rare occasion when I fall in love with the game, I might work my way up to hard after a couple of playthroughs. Sophie says, medium and for story. If I really like and enjoy the game, I'll play it on a harder difficulty for a challenge. Marie says, easy to medium, I'll play for the story. Dan the Man says, I play for story, so I prefer slightly easier. Pinky says, medium level in challenge. And that's what we had for...
Did not know she was a gamer.
Yeah, she's pretty cool.
Which one? Pinky. I don't know if she's cool. I just didn't know she played video games.
Pinky. Yeah.
Why do they call her Pinky?
That's her nickname.
Her name is Brenda
Poitra, and she goes by Pinky.
She missing a Pinky?
No, she wears a lot of pink, but she's a biker.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she's like a girly biker.
Yeah.
She's like a Care Bear. She's in love
with Grease, basically.
She's like a Care Bear in leather, basically.
Nowhere near a Care Bear. No.
Some people she does.
She's an ass.
knocked her legs out. She's great, though. I like her.
Nice.
Pinky's like us in biker form. It's great.
Awesome. Great.
So, we got a lot of Microsoft news.
Emails?
No, we didn't have any emails. I just checked.
EM fails us again. So before we break into the Microsoft news, I did have one thing, and only thing out there not Xbox right now that's verifiable. It's a Mortal Kombat Complete Edition for PC has been announced. Will include all DLC released for the console version. Including Scarlet, Kenshi, Rain, and Freddy Krueger. There's also 15 classic Mortal Kombat skins and 3 classic fatalities for Scorpion, Sub-Zero, and Reptile. The PC version supports the Mortal Kombat Tournament Edition Fight Stick and other controllers. Expect achievements and leaderboard stats too.
And my only problem with fighting games via PC is, I mean, you can still use a controller and everything else. I don't know how many people actually play fighting games on PC. Like, maybe there's a big market for it, or maybe not. Like, it's really more one of those things, like, originally it was just the arcade, and, you know, maybe you'll play with your buddies, but, I mean, not everybody plays it through their TV either, so it'd be like playing on your little monitor. No.
But, you know, you have those few holdouts that never got the new console generation. They just went completely PC. And that's what they're trying to target is all.
Well, shit, I mean, me and Trent are basically holding on to the whole PC generation right now.
Yeah.
I'm about to get another graphic card.
Yeah, I'm going to buy an Xbox One and probably a PlayStation 4, but I mean, I still use my PC. I just had the money to do it, and I had the desire to check out what's new in the console world. Yeah.
Well, I mean, me and you are in a unique situation. We've been roommates for 4 years. We're both not married. Don't have kids. We have a lot of disposable income.
We're straight.
Yeah, we do have separate sides of the house.
Yes.
But we have a lot of disposable income. It's not like we're rich. It's just that, I mean, our bills are pretty low, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of easy to have like an extra $400 on a check and be like, I'm going to buy a game.
Yeah, I did have another piece of news. Visceral Games says they are working on the next Star Wars now.
Nice.
And it will be out in 2015 to coincide with the release of the first Star Wars installment movie from J.J. Abrams.
So they're actually taking time to develop it. It's not going to be something that's produced in like 6 months.
Yeah, because it's already 2013, so it's like, you know, possibly could be 2 years, because it might be released during the summer of 2015, which makes sense, since they're going to try and pull as many people in. That would be a perfect blockbuster hit for summer, or even later in the year in the holidays. You know, get people out, because they like to put out a lot of really big hit movies during the Christmas as well. Like, during like October, November, December, they do put out a lot. So I remember with Enemy of the State, huge movie with Gene Hackman and Wilson, that came out in December around the time of that year, and I went to go see it then when I was in Arizona. By the way, so they could have actually more than 2 years.
Well, the original Star Wars releases were fall anyway.
Yeah. Episode 1 was, I think, in May.
Episode 1 was in May, but otherwise, it's traditional form being fall.
Yeah. So, I mean, they could push it into third quarter of the year, which means that they could get the game released. I remember Episode 1, the game that was released on PlayStation for it was supposed to release the same day as the fucking movie. And I pre-ordered that game, and there was a huge snafu, and I didn't get the game until, like, I think 3 weeks after the fucking movie had come out, which really pissed me off. And the game wasn't even that great anyways. But
what was that one where you could fight each other? As
that was Masters of Terracid. Yeah, that was one of my favorite all-time games.
It's kind of cheesy, but it was fun.
I love that game, dude.
It was great. It lets you fight. It lets you fight as Slave Leia. I mean,
yeah, you can do Mara Jade. You can do a Stormtrooper. You can do Han Solo. You can do Greedo. I think you can do Greedo. I can't remember. You can do Darth Vader. You can do like Skywalker, Chewbacca. I mean, you had everything in there. It was fantastic, and it was Masters of Terracid, or Terracid, depending on how you pronounce it, and it was on PlayStation, and it's actually voted one of the most memorable games of PlayStation 1, you know, generation, and I love that fucking game. It's one of my favorites. By the way, so yeah, that should be out in 2015, and we'll see how that goes. Visceral does usually good games.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, I think it's Visceral and DICE, I think, are the two that are working together for it right now, so...
I'm good with Visceral.
So, one of the things I wanted to bring up is several months ago, maybe even a year ago, there was a guy named Superday, and he was selling a couple of next-generation Xboxes, the dev kits, on eBay. And so he's been in months and months and months of litigation, but I guess right now he has, tonight, he had FTP server on a timer, and once it hits, like, midnight or whatever, a certain time zone, all the files that he's gotten for different development stuff is going to go to read-only so that everybody in the world who wants to access it can read it. So I know that a lot of these journalists...
Is he like the WikiLeaks of the video game world?
No, he's just kind of a douchebag, to be honest with you.
Well, that guy from WikiLeaks...
he's a party pooper is what he is.
He's a master spoiler.
This guy's just trying to cash in on the info, so I'm sure that he wants to get some notoriety for it.
Mm. Yeah.
Whatever. I don't know. I know a lot of people don't want to get anything spoiled for them, but I at this point, I really feel like it's really a spoiler to just kind of figure stuff out.
Yeah.
A couple other things I have that are not Xbox related.
But how can you have that? Because Jason said there was only one thing that was verified.
It was the only thing I could find that was verified.
Well, I've been looking at Trust Trent's news because I was told there's only one thing.
Well.
He said when he did his news, he said this is the only thing out there.
I meant the only thing I've heard.
Yeah, so I can't trust you, Trent.
Well, verifiable, actually. what I said is verifiable through multiple different sources, including my penis, if you want to take a quick look.
I always trust your penis.
I always trust your penis.
You have to get really close.
You might be a little gun shy. Come on.
Hey, you taught me.
You know what a penis is?
You taught me earlier.
I didn't teach you. I just educated
you. Oh, that's true. With your pin 15.
Yes. Anyway, go ahead.
I was going to say, so a lot of people know who Mojang is. The guy that made Minecraft. Mm-hmm. Anyways, two things on Mojang. I guess he got an invite to E3.
Oh, really?
And they sent him a golden PS1, and so there was a thing about that on the interwebs today. Other things, though, is he released an actual trailer for Scrolls, which showed it out to be like a hex grid-based strategy game, like in the vein of like Final Fantasy Tactics, stuff like that. The idea is you can take those characters and trade them with your friends as you're playing them with different battles to get different characters and build different decks. So it's one of those things where he's trying to get like a tradable character thing, almost like Pokemon, but
more digital based.
It's an online battle game more in the vein of like Final Fantasy Tactics or something like that. Rover battle.
So like Hexagon, or so kind of like Disciples, but with you can build up your characters and trade them out.
And then you can trade them with people, which is kind of a cool idea.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, trading.
So and it looks like a regular video game. It's not like Minecraft, which I guess everybody's.
Well, Minecraft is a video game. What are you talking about?
You know, I just say it has more
not
modern
dated.
Graphics.
Not dated.
Yeah.
Hey, there's some people that do amazing things in Minecraft.
Do you want to stay on the show?
Oh,
you don't like Minecraft?
No, give me a shit.
Hey, you know what, Mister?
I own Minecraft, and whenever I got into Minecraft, how long was I in there?
Drinking 2 weeks.
Mountain Dew and fucking listening to Sloppy Seconds 24/7, building my spire to the sky.
Yeah, we kept trying to build taller towers.
Yeah,
I
put lava.
There was
in the
like penis
of mine.
Envy going on.
Yeah.
There was like two towers in this world.
Yeah.
We just kept getting larger and larger.
Well, what I built underneath though was even cooler. It went down as well. So
best thing I ever did with Minecraft.
Yeah.
Built the Super Star Destroyer.
Yeah, there you go.
To scale.
Well, they had the big old Super Mario. That was really cool, too.
No. When they built the NCC-1701 Enterprise to scale.
That's true.
That was actually pretty badass, that one. Because they even had the
There's
decks.
So many
good
people
there
that
do
Well, I kind of feel like that game was almost an accident. Like an accidental win. He was working on a game. He's like, wonder if people will play this. And he's like, oh, it's like adult Legos.
Yeah.
It is, dude.
And then it just kind of picked up. But speaking of that, like, another game that I think it feel like it's inspired. I was watching trailers today, and I showed a couple of you guys this. It's a game called Forest, or The Forest, coming out.
Yep. One R.
One R. One R.
One R.
One R.
Yeah. Forest is spelled with one R.
We had to correct someone.
That's true.
Apparently.
Justin.
Oh, that's not even funny. Oh, come on, man.
So, that was me.
Yeah, I was going to say, take blame for that.
So apparently,
I acknowledged it.
So apparently the quality guy in the room thinks Forrest should have two R's.
Listen, it should.
That is funny.
I don't understand why it doesn't. I think a lot of things should have two R's.
Right? He's got autocorrect. So
Ritalin? Berries? That already has to. Oh, okay. Well, then that one's covered. Maybe it should have three.
Hmm. No, two's enough. Two's enough.
Earl likes to roll his R's.
I do.
Ricardo Montalban. I haven't been able to roll an R.
Listen,
so
you
want like
to mess somebody up, you go down to any place that's there in Central America and have them say Earl. You would not believe that. I'm like, don't worry about
probably
it.
Sounds like a fucking Merlog.
It's crazy. We went to Costa Rica for mission trips when I was a teenager, and nobody could pronounce my name right. They're like, I'm like, yes, that's how you say my name. Let's just go with that. You can call me by my last name if you like.
People just moan when they want to talk to you. It's like,
yeah. So, but yeah, Earl, not a good name to pronounce in Central America.
So,
or people with speech impediments.
Yeah, that's
true.
Boom. So yeah, The Forest. It's it looks like a game with modern graphics where you have survival going on, and it kind of had that whole Minecraft feel, like he's chopping down trees, he's building a little fort, and then it showed like a bunch of like fucking weird like naked bodies chasing him.
Yeah, it was
an orgy, and he wasn't.
So it goes.
They're chasing him out of the orgy.
It goes off to survival. You know, mode that Minecraft has where you need to build shit before dark and get yourself situated, or else, you know, you're gonna get your ass handed to you by these, you know, multi-spawned enemies.
Which so, could be a cool idea, to be honest with
you. Yeah, a little bit more upscale than a creeper. Look, creepers aren't really scary.
Yeah, no, they're not scary. They just piss you the fuck off.
They freak you out for a second when you first see them, like, oh, god damn it, no, don't come. Oh, he's coming down my bridge.
Don't come my way,
coming down my bridge.
And he just starts bouncing.
He's outside my door.
He's just looking at you still like, what's up, guy? What's up? I want to blow up your house. Can you get me in?
So have you heard of the saving power of Jesus Christ? Just like, get off. And then you jump off your tower and start running again to follow you, and he just blows up your front door. You're like, ah.
It's like, I didn't need that door.
Yeah, rebuild. Your pigs are dead. You're like, fuck it.
Ham steaks.
Cook creepers.
Cook them.
Now, I like one thing. When I was far away from the farm, and
you get the forest in the dark.
No, I wasn't the forest in the dark. I found one of those villages full of the penis nose people, the gonzos, and and it was nighttime.
That's weird.
Yeah, I was like, it's nighttime. I need to hide. So I went to this room and I'm hiding. And I'm just sitting there. I started hearing like banging on all four doors in this fucking room because it's zombies outside banging on the fucking doors. And there's like the storm thing. I was like, okay, this is kind of creepy. There's just banging and moaning, and people keep opening the doors to come in, the NPCs. I'm like, fucking close the door. And that was actually kind of
stressful because you're like, I'm going to lose all my items. I'm so far from home. And
so far
from home. You know what I did? I built my house out of glass because I enjoy a good glass house.
You just like people to watch you.
I do. So. But what I did is when it was at night, because the people would come in, I would build the little wall right there, so I had like the entrance door.
You got the new patch, so you can dance up really
well. Not exactly, but I'd build that little thing, so like when they would come in at night, I would just go and then make that big wall there so they couldn't come in, and they just get stuck right there in that little hallway right there, and then the creepers would come in and blow up. Saved my stuff many times by doing it that way. I was like, it's the wall.
They can't destroy it.
Make all these moats like everywhere and then fill them with lava and then things are burned down.
I built my bedroom underwater, which was fun to clear out that whole lake area, which sucked. So I built a box out of stone, and then I laid sand down to get rid of all the water, and then I picked all the sand back up, and then I basically outlined the whole thing in glass with a cobblestone as fucking pillars for it, and then I removed the box from the outside, so it was just all glass, and then I laid out my my roof with glass, and then I started bucketing water and throwing it on top of the glass. So I went down in there, and the whole thing is like you're laying So you're inside your room, and it's all glass. There's lava underneath the floor, which was cool. So it's blue and red. And you see the little squids come swimming around. And then a creeper just somehow accidentally gets close enough that he detects you and blows up the top of your glass, and water starts pouring in. So, yeah, I have a... underground and underwater places are fantastic. They build it really awesome until creepers show up.
I hate creepers.
Yeah. Fucking hate creepers.
So, anyways.
And spiders.
Don't be a creeper.
A creeper don't be a creeper.
Worse.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Just expect a creeper with a name like that to pull up in a van.
Candy like, hey. Written on the side of it.
Those free puppies.
free puppies.
Free puppies with hugs. It's like, if you give me a hug, I'll give you a puppy.
I'll hug you.
You gotta give them that hug, and you just think you've never seen
that. That just makes me think, what do you want to do when you grow up, little girl?
Live in a van down by the river.
Chris Farley wearing in hell. So,
yeah.
Cocaine and prostitute
model. I only got one bit of news. It's about the Curiosity Cube that would turn a random person into a video game. Did you read about that?
No.
So is this the Peter Molyneux thing?
Yeah, that was amazing. So basically,
That's that iOS game where you sit there and tap, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the Peter Molyneux, he created a game called Curiosity. It was an app. And that's the dude right there. I think he's from Scotland. I don't remember. I'll go down here. But anyways, so he said the last person, it had 25 billion cubelets. And it took him like 6 months. And he said, it was like very vague. And he was like, the person that chips away the last cubelet. But he said he'll have life changing in measurable ways. So earlier this month, Molyneux told Wired that even his own wife and children didn't know what awaited the winner. So when this thing was released, which was 5/26, which was yesterday, basically an 18-year-old boy named Brian Henderson from Edinburgh, Scotland, destroyed the last cube. The 18-year-old. So people are going to hate me for this, but I only registered for the game earlier this morning, about an hour before I won the thing. Henderson's reward is related to Molyneux's upcoming game, Goddess, a god game, and where players rule over their own world. But today we learned that everyone playing the game will have an all-powerful god ruling them. Brian Henderson. So he's going to work alongside 22 Cans to introduce his own rules and morals into the game, but that's not all. It's also a lot more, which is cooler too. Basically, affecting all players. Molyneux in the video game, in the video that Henderson saw when he finished the game, 22 Cans later released the video on YouTube and also said that Henderson will also get a fiscal award. Basically, every time people spend money on the game, he'll get a small piece of the pie.
Nice.
Whoa. So basically, Henderson, for his part, is totally baffled as to what any of this means and is having trouble comprehending how he beat out so many other players. 22 Cans told Wired that at the exact moment that the last piece of the Curiosity Cube was destroyed, there were 30,000 people working on it simultaneously. Henderson said he never spent any money on the game and was simply tapping casually as he cracked the final cubelet. He found a lone patch, and for nearly 10 minutes after clearing it out, didn't realize that he had won. It says if Goddess goes on to being a big hit, he may find himself becoming wealthy. Molyneux, for his part, said that 22 Cans will follow up with exact details on monetary reward, but promised in the reveal video that you will accrue riches from the game from the start to the finish of your reign. Henderson said, I don't think I understand as much as I should have, but I think I've realized it's going to be a bit.
So it's kind of cool that he's like,
I
read the summary of what you just read.
Yeah, so basically if that thing takes off big and people spend money like they do on video games, it could be like the Superman thing where like pennies are carried over.
But there's this really bad side to this where he's going to create this god based on the winner.
Yeah.
And the winner's going to bestow his morals and beliefs into this god. This that could reveal a lot about this guy we don't want to know.
But like, it also says,
men and women can get married, that's fine, but you know, you can also fuck dogs.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. That's
also, but if you go down,
you gotta say further, that, wait, he's from Ireland, isn't he?
No, he's Scotland.
So you gotta say it with a Scottish accent. Yeah. Like, but it's okay to fuck dogs. You know?
But here's the thing. Though, even said the developer said even though he gonna put that kid's gonna put his own rules and morals, he has the final say so of it. So he could be like, well, I don't really like that. So
I like where you're going with this stuff. Yeah. But the thing about, you know,
the dogs,
about you can wear babies like nipple clamps.
Yeah.
We can't do that.
So, yeah. But no, it looks interesting. Like I said, so that kid,
that's a
could,
really risky
like, all
thing
statues
for Peter
of
Mulder,
me
yeah.
as a deity must be made from human feces. Yeah, that's yeah, you can make that rule.
But I read that and I thought that's really cool because
I didn't realize
that
was that
joke.
Story because that's been
yeah.
going on for a while.
Yeah, so I liked it. I enjoyed it and I said that's really awesome. So
wait, that might get interesting.
Yeah, I mean even if you just get like 2% from all sales, if enough people buy stuff, you could make money off that really good.
You make a good amount of money.
Heck yeah.
So I want to bring out one more list before we go into Microsoft news. And some confirmed, I'm just going to kind of highlight this in quick form. You guys feel free to comment if you want to.
Yay!
Comments.
There's a handful of games that have been confirmed for E3 reveals, which we'll be covering as much as we can.
Is there one from Gearbox that we're sorry?
No, it's too soon.
Really?
So,
okay, sorry.
Obviously, we're going to be we're going to see some Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
Yes.
Wayland's. Wailing up the storm.
I'm waiting for the reveal poster so I can get that.
Have you not seen the posters that Justin and I got for that?
Yeah, we both have one.
To you, yeah.
So, anyways, that's being released on everything. So, next gen, current gen. Batman Arkham Origins is being confirmed for all current gen systems, including Wii U.
Yeah.
Battlefield 4.
From that list. I'm not happy about it.
Destiny is being announced for PS4, Xbox One, PS3, and 360.
Not happy about what
Destiny is one that I'm actually interested in. Dragon Age Inquisition, Dragon Age 3, has been announced for 360 and PS3.
I cannot wait to see shit on that. I got in with Dragon Age 2. I'll admit, Dragon Age 1 was too much of a throwback for me. I was like, you know, I'm in the mood for something newer. So I skipped Dragon Age 1 and went straight into Dragon Age 2. I watched you playing Dragon Age 1.
I like Dragon Age 1 better.
Yeah, but I jumped into Dragon Age 2 and I enjoyed it. I saw there's a lot of potential with what they had. They just kind of skipped on some areas here I've made publicly bitching moments about before. So, and the stuff they said they're going to address and fix in this one, like the dungeon and crest.
So like customizable NPCs. I'd like to be able to play NPCs again.
Yeah, I'm very interested.
Why don't they put Dark Souls 2 out there? I would like to see them cover that.
I don't see that on here
it's
yet.
It's not on there yet. That's what I'm saying.
Elder Scrolls Online is going
to
be...
That's interesting. I want to see
I want to see more on that.
What does this column mean? They are actually going to do it? Or
that column
means... No, that's totally confirmed.
Oh, okay.
So, see, Infamous Second Son's going to be announced.
You know you're looking forward to that one.
Lords of the Fallen is being announced. That's that new RPG from a CD Projekt.
Yeah. What about any Mass Effect?
No Mass Effect.
Sequel, nothing.
There's
no
a
Mass
Pokemon
Effect.
And a Quantum Break.
There's Mario Kart Wii U.
Rayman Legends.
My
wife will be happy about that.
Quantum Break. That's the one that's being done by Remedy.
Yeah, it's Remedy. One. Actually, I watched the stuff for that, and the big thing is this, and for those of you who didn't really see anything about that, that's actually going to be a TV show that won the game. How you play the game is going to be disclosed to you through the TV show on top of the game being affected by the show the show being affected by the game.
Which one?
Quantum Break by Remedy. I watched a whole bunch of shit for it.
I didn't realize this. I just thought that was part of the trailer.
No, that's what it's going to be. There's going to be a TV show and a game, and it's going to be one of those things where when they say, they specifically said, the show is going to tell you how to play the game. It makes me wonder if this is going to be one of those full immersions where it's going to throw you the fuck in and say, guess what? Figure it out. And then you start watching the show and you start to pick up clues on how to do stuff, where you need to go, how you're going to do this, and...
What network is that going to be on?
I don't know. They haven't said. And I'm not sure if the game is going to affect the show at all, but I know the show is definitely going to affect the game. I'm actually pretty excited.
I want to see what happens with it. It looks interesting.
Well, with that, they also said they showed Alan Wake, and they said that we're not done with Alan Wake. It's just we don't have the resources for it right now. But they did this cute little, Raiders of the Lost Ark thing where they had them boxing up all of Alan's stuff, and they wheel it into a big warehouse. And it says, Alan Wake... do not open until, and it was blocked out so you couldn't see it, and they put it away.
That's
so
cool.
So I think they're hoping that if they can pull this off, they might get
funded.
Yeah,
the money.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of Zelda.
Yeah, Super Mario 3D Wii U, Super Smash Bros. 4 for Wii U, which actually that's pretty cool. The Evil Within, TBA on what system it's going to be on, which looks pretty cool.
Yeah, that one looks pretty badass.
Last of Us is going to be announced. Of course, we're going to get it like 2 weeks later. Yeah. Legend of Zelda HD for Wii U. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And then Wind Waker HD, which would be a remake. I'm more interested in the first one.
Oh, I know. Yeah. The Legend.
Witcher 2, or Witcher 3 Wild Hunt.
Nice.
Wolfenstein, New Order, which will be on all current gen. And then The Witness, which I'm not sure exactly what that is, but I want to look into it.
See what they're going to do with Witcher 3, because, I mean, taking things beyond what Witcher 2 did, and they've talked about going way beyond that, it's going to be interesting to see what
they come up with. You, if you, well, you got the rig for it now. You definitely should play Witcher 2.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's some of the stuff that's coming out. Now, it's kind of branching off from that, because I want to kind of get into the whole TV thing.
This is horrible.
So, well, I'll get into that in just a second, but... right now, they're talking about doing some like Microsoft Xbox One exclusive TV shows. One of the ones they were talking about doing was the whole Halo.
Steven Spielberg directed Halo for, and that's only available on Xbox Network.
So I wonder if that show for that was possibly. Quantum Break is going to be a Microsoft exclusive TV show that you play if you have.
Cool.
Which would be kind of cool because it'd be one of those things that if you had like a wife, kids, or well, maybe not.
Yeah.
Kids, but you know what I mean, like older kids. It'd be something you guys could do together and kind of figure out the story as you go or whatever.
My problem with that is this, and we talked about this before, about with the whole Halo movie, the Halo TV show, is the Halo TV show going to be free or do I have to pay per episode? If they do that with a video game to where Quantum Break is something where you have to watch a show to basically really understand the game, I don't want to pay for the episode. I already paid $60, maybe $70 now for the game. I don't want to continue dishing out 400 Microsoft points, 800 Microsoft points
or
per episode,
pass.
Or buy a season. I don't want to do that.
No.
By the end, you guys get well close to, depending on how long it is, maybe 150 fucking bucks. I paid twice for the game
it's
at
a
that
season.
Point
that's
just to play. So I bought the game, then I have to watch the fucking show and pay for that. Just
that's
to
here's one right thing. They want money off of it. You can make with the Quantum Break, most likely, and with Halo, definitely.
Save like a fucking season
you can,
pass, I mean.
You, well, even
or
then,
you
don't even
game.
Have to. You don't even have to have people pay for Halo. You can make your money in advertising. Why? Because people are going to log on to Xbox Live.
Well, there's 60 million
the
Xbox
series.
Live
users
right
now.
Party.
Well, no, on party. Top of that, what they could do is they could do a thing where it's for those who are in line with it. If they do an episode of Quantum Break for the first week, it's free. After that, you have to come back. If you haven't watched it within that first week, you then have to pay for it. So that way, they get people tuning in every night that's going to be on Xbox to watch it.
And then you're making your advertising dollars.
It gives them a week, though, to watch it
before
it's going to become, you know, 120 bucks per sorry, 128 Microsoft points per episode. Which 120 is not big. That's not a huge
deal. That's only $1.50.
Yeah, it's not a big deal at all. And if you've got, like, every subscriber, you're not going to get every subscriber. If you got, like, you know, Alan Wake sold 3 million copies. We got 3 million people paying $1.25 per fucking episode. Yeah.
Well, Halo, that would be like probably 15 to 20 million people that have an Xbox.
Yeah, paying $1.20 per. You're making a fuck ton of money every week or every month, depending on how you fucking just off a game. That you're not even putting out. You're just making the TV show, and you're making fucking millions.
Even if you just
charge
that buck.
That's what we're saying.
15 million people up. 15 million
that's what
bucks.
We're saying, yeah. And with something like Quantum Break, if Quantum Break sells at least as much as Alan Wake did, which was 3 million, then you're making $3 million.
You think about like really highly rated like cable TV shows, like Walking Dead has like what? I think peaked out at like 6 million viewers.
I think it's 7 last
Yeah, something
yeah.
like
yeah.
that. Which, I mean. If,
that was the end of season 2, there were 7, so there might be more now after season 2.
But just thinking about that, like that's high, one of the highest rated cable TV shows.
They were the most watched.
Outside of Hannah Montana.
Yeah, outside of Hannah Montana.
But, like, thinking about that, like, I mean, that's more than enough funding for somebody like Xbox because they have, there's more subscribers for Xbox Live or even the PS3 network or the Sony network than there is for any television subscriber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, your biggest television subscriber has, like, 18, 19 million. Your second most has 14, 15. I mean, there's not anybody out there that has that many subs, and not all those subs watch those TV shows, you know? Even your primetime shit, you know, which is on everything, is getting, you know, it's not proprietary to that. So if you have something proprietary to a network like, you know, Xbox Live or Sony, then you're getting a fucking shitload of viewers.
Yeah.
But one of the other things I thought was interesting, like, I guess I'm throwing out all the negative first, because there is a few things that were cool. They're talking about, now there's a patent that's been thrown out where the new Kinect sensor is going to be able to detect how many people are in your living room.
Oh, they also said it's going to, I was watching the thing, they also said it's going to be able to tell you, like, in pitch black, it's got, like, night vision. So it'll be able to tell you who's in it, but also tell you who's engaged, who's like, their body language. Like right now, I've been like, Trent doesn't really give a crap about what's on TV. You are, like, all excited and your heartbeat's racing. It's like, it's crazy.
Well, they're talking, there is some conjecture out there, and I'm going to say this conjecture because nobody knows, that they might charge additional fees. So, like, if you're watching Netflix, you have more than four people in the room, and it's like, oh, you have too many people, so you might charge an extra dollar. So, crazy.
It's got a night vision thing built into it.
Well, the other one
too.
Does, too. When you watch Ghost Hunters?
That's crazy.
They're always talking about that little Kinect sensor they
have. Yeah, watch this, unplug the Kinect then whenever you watch Netflix.
Well, I think it has to always be on.
Yeah, on the new Xbox One, it has to be connected. Both that's what I'm saying. Because they
would be spying on you the whole time.
Just put tape over it.
But they were talking about how, because it has that night vision thing, I was talking about how it can sense what everybody in the room is doing. Like, if they're excited, if they're antsy, if they don't give a crap. It's nuts.
It's a good way to fuck with people.
Yeah.
If you can display that on the TV, just display it.
Right.
Yeah, I think
she's a whore.
Yeah.
She's been spread your legs all day.
Sorry, Dave. She's a whore.
Again, throwing out the negative first, they're also applying for TV achievements.
Yeah.
Which
achievement hunting while you watch TV.
Which I think is garbage.
That's horrible.
It's like, you watch Hannah Montana. Negative 5 points.
What is that?
So other things, I mean, actually, I'm going to get into that in just a second. Who else has some news about the Xbox before I want to
they
get into
said, that? They said that even though they're ramping up, I saw a thing that said even though they're ramping up for the Xbox One, they still sold like 4 million units of the Xbox 360.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're still wanting to sell units through the next couple of years.
Well, when they said they've got something big in line for the 360 still that they're going to be revealing at E3, so...
There's going to be massive
continued support for it.
Well, my thing is there's always that price break when that new console's coming out. Mm-hmm. They start dropping those prices.
Well, the PS3 was like, what, $600-something-odd?
Yeah.
I saw a thing at Sam's Club today for the PS3. You can get it on some kind of a bundle. It was like $298. I was like, wow.
But the thing is, there's always that price break once the new stuff is announced.
Did you?
Because the old stuff starts to drop down in price to get people geared up to go out and save money to buy up the new one. And if they're going to be announcing something new for the Xbox 360, is that price break going to still apply to the 360? Or is it just going to stay flat until Xbox One comes out because there's now going to be new tech coming out for the 360 to make it... not compatible with the new stuff, but make it to where it still has some live functionality for people who can't afford to buy the new one. So,
well, I know that Xbox Live is going to still continue for, I think it's going to just be, I don't know if it's going to go through both systems or not, but I know that doing some research, there's not any backwards compatibility with the Xbox One or the PS4. So you're still going to have your old system play your old games.
And that's what Microsoft was talking about. Since they've dumped a Blu-ray player into the Xbox One, it's just easier for backwards compatibility sake to continue support for the Xbox 360 for the older library of games.
Really, the only quote-unquote next-gen system, the Wii U, is the only one that has any backwards compatibility to play Wii games.
That's cool. Backwards, too. You can play GameCube and Wii U. Sorry, GameCube and Wii.
You sure you can play GameCube?
No, you can't play. You can
get them. You can download them.
Yeah, you can download them. That was it.
They're starting to bring it, but
that was it. Yeah,
but they're releasing them kind of slowly.
Yeah, but you can play Wii and Wii U games. It has its own operating system for Wii, so it stands alone, which is nice. The thing with the 360 and the Xbox One is that if I'm going to be paying my Xbox Gold membership on 360, I don't want to be paying for it on Xbox One as well.
Oh, so they're saying you have both?
We don't know.
They need to find a way to be able to tie the two together.
Yeah.
This is my Microsoft account, so... Well, there was also speculation on if you had a package, like you spend $99, they were talking about that, and they're doing it in certain test markets. You spend $99 on the console, and then you pay like $11.99 for your Xbox Live service monthly. So you have a 2-year contract, and they do it kind of like you do.
Wouldn't be too bad. Like an upgrade to any kind of
company. It'd just be like any other TV company that rents you a box and then says, you know, here's your subscription.
Yeah.
Your subscription pays off the box basically after a certain amount of time.
That wouldn't be too bad.
So they could do something like that, and I think it'd be fairly widely accepted if we did something like
that. That'd be fine, but in the end.
But that's something that I could do, because my wife, when we watched the thing on Spike, she was like, it's just a video. She's not a big video game player. But then she's like, how much is it going to cost? And I was like, it's probably going to be $400 to $600, and she just shook her head. If they did like the $99 one with the 2-year contract, if it had all the specs of like,
it'd be like,
that's something I could
guy with a family like yourself.
That's something I could do.
I say
or even $200.
My wife, $99 would probably be the most.
I see them trying to do one of those because number one, the $99 Xbox bundle thing was a huge hit.
Yeah,
it worked. People started buying.
Because like I said, with most of Middle America, like what we're considered. You can't drop $200. That's a lot. I'm having trouble trying to get $99 to get the Samsung 3. Well, you know what I'm saying? Because my wife's always like, well, we could use that $100 and pay this bill, or we could use that. So if I was like, look, I could do this, and it has a 2-year contract, you know I'm going to be playing it. It would be a smart investment. Yeah. And she would look at that better than dropping 600 bones for this.
Like Justin and I are in that situation where we can't afford to do it. And even then, when we decide we're going to do it, it's not... I'll admit, a lot of times it's on a whim. It's not something I even plan for. It's like, okay, fuck it. Like when I bought a Wii U, I was like, fuck it.
I'm in that mindset bucks. Right now. I'm going to start dropping $100 a check and just getting back because I know this stuff's coming out soon.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. But we know people, and a lot of people, and we know that most people aren't going to be able to do that. They need to be able to either budget or they need to be able to get a deal. And so, and Xbox knows that. And that's why they did that whole, you know, plan thing where you pay the $99, you get a Xbox Slim 4GB with a Kinect, and you pay your monthly bill, and that's all it is. And that works out so well because most people can afford $11.99. That's not a huge deal.
But just 4GB is not that much.
No, 4GB is nothing, but I can see them. They didn't mention anything about smaller hard drives on the reveal. They said 500GB, that's all they said.
Yeah.
They didn't say that if they. I know that they were talking about for a long time about having different versions of the model, a hardcore gaming one and a casual gaming one. They need to get rid of that. Just go ahead and do either buy the whole system full out like you would a phone for the full price of, say, $500, or do the plan where you pay $150 plus 11 whatever a month to pay off the script, you know, but it's the same hardware all the
same. That's what I'm saying. If they did that, I could even talk my most I could go up is probably like $150.
Yeah.
I could talk my wife into that because I'm like, look, I'll save back $40.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Then maybe I could do that. But my wife is... She's not a big gaming fan, and that's what I'm saying. And she just shook her head every time she heard it, and she was just like,
"Well, they're talking about incorporating a lot of other technology." The things that I did like about it, actually, now let's go to the thing I don't like about it, the used game thing. Let's talk about used games.
Let's skip that really quick. Let's jump into video because one of the big things that people were bitching about, everything I like, you know, a lot of people were complaining about. It's going like, well, what I saw mainly was they say TV, TV, TV. TV,
what are the guys?
Forza, TV, 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 TV. Number one, when they advertised the Xbox 360, TV was a big part of it, talking about you can do this, you can do that. And as you notice,
I like switching inputs with a Kinect. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, but as they've gone forward on, they've tried to incorporate as much video because they really do want you to centralize your entire entertainment hub around the Xbox. They really want you to. So then talking about TV, talking about, you know,
Skype,
you know, ESPN, which they've had on their Hulu,
NFL Network,
Netflix, all that shit. I don't care. It's not that huge of a deal. All it means is I now have access to even more shit on the box. Guess what? There's still going to be fucking games coming out for it. People, chill the fuck out.
But you got to remember, a lot of people.
Well,
are
and
so
it still has.
Yeah.
It's still going to be a good enough upgrade in hardware that it's still good for hardcore gamers.
Oh, yeah.
Microsoft is generalizing it a little bit. They're bringing in a bigger audience, which is fine with me. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good strategy. Make it your at-home console for the casual gamers and the people who just like TV entertainment in general.
I've got relatives that are about 15, 20 years older than me, they have an Xbox, and they really just use it for Netflix and ESPN. And then occasionally Halo, you know, like they just don't play a lot of games. They use it for the entertainment.
Well, it's just like with Blu-ray players. They bring Blu-ray players out. Huge saying this. They're bringing Blu-ray players out with Amazon Instant, Netflix,
fucking Hulu, yeah.
Everything on there, saying like, okay, you know, and people will be like, well, no, I buy this to play Blu-rays only. No, you're not going to hear anybody say that. Just like, oh, I only buy an Xbox to play games. You're like, why? There's so much more you can do. Even with 360, there's so much more you can do. You can use this as an MP3 player, just like the original fucking big-ass brick Xbox was. You can fucking watch videos on it. You can use something like Views, Azure's Views, to transcode video, you know, wirelessly on the fucking machine.
I went and bought one of the chat pads just strictly so, but since I opened up Internet Explorer to the Xbox, I went and bought the chat pad just
for you. Can plug in a regular
I know, but
for like $11.99.
I hate being corded.
Yeah.
So buying the chat keyboard for the controller was just easier.
So no leash on Jason.
But you gotta
have a keyboard plugged in. I always have a keyboard.
But people don't understand though. It's just like anything, like with a smartphone. Your smartphone does so much more, and people only use like 5 or 10% of it, unless you know what you use for. And that's the thing. You gotta open up to a broad spectrum.
Yeah.
How are you gonna survive as a company if all you say is this is a gaming system only? You can't.
Yeah.
You want to make it big. Like with the View, with Twitter, when they talked about Twitter, it like jammed up the stuff because the old people, you know, elderly people like the View, and they're like, "Oh, Barbara Walters says it, so it must be cool. I'm gonna learn how to do the Twitter."
Well, it's
so Xbox is the same thing. Look, we got this great big spectrum now, and you get those people that call into our job all the time. They're like, "I pressed the button and I don't know what to do." With the new Xbox One, you're like, "Xbox TV," and it, you know, who's gonna mess that up?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can open up to such a bigger array.
It's the integration of this stuff. I mean, number one, like, you started to point out something, and then you went off on a tangent. But it's the cell phones. Cell phones are a good example. What the fuck does a cell phone have to do with TV?
Exactly.
Nothing. But why are there so many TV integrated options into it? One, you can use your iPhone as remote control for your television.
Mm-hmm. Smart glass, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, give it to your kid in the back of the car on a trip.
The iPhone 5 and the Galaxy S4.
Something besides Microsoft.
Complete IR remote capabilities.
Yeah, so you can actually use your iPhone to control your television.
But that's what I'm saying, but you can also give it to your kid in the back seat to watch something, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though, is that they've integrated into where it's like, oh, where the fuck's my remote? Well, my phone's in my pocket. Change channel. And that's the thing, is we're integrating our technologies. You people have been asking for it for years. For years. You've said, well, you know, I want this mixed with that. That'd be cool. I want glasses that I can watch TV on while I'm walking down the street. And guess what? We're getting that.
Google Glass.
Yeah, we're getting Google Glass, which has actually been doing some astounding things lately with their demonstrations. Been watching every day.
You people said, why can't I watch, since it's internet connected, why can't I watch Netflix through my Xbox? They brought it to you.
Yeah. Why can't I watch Netflix on my phone? Why can't I set up my phone to my computer and tell it to download a game for me? Well, oh, guess what? You can. You can also do it with your Xbox. If your Xbox is turned on, which they now have that standby mode.
Well, you can actually just turn
it
off.
Yeah. On the Xbox One now, they actually have the standby. I think it'll actually download shit in standby mode because it's got the always connected.
Well, you can do that now.
So,
like if I'm on the internet, my Xbox is internet connected. And I start telling it to download something, like I download an arcade
from
game, and it does that.
Website.
Well, from the website or from your phone, you can go to Xbox.com, sit there and say, well, download this demo, or I just purchased this game on demand, go ahead and download it. When I get home from work, boom, I can play Azura's Wrath, whatever I want to play. It's already done. And that is the integration factor. TV with phones, with game systems which have DVD players built into them, they also have internet access, YouTube channel, which was a genius idea, all that stuff. Already mixed into one, so don't bitch about TV.
And the whole Skype thing is cool because not all laptops can have a webcam on it.
Yeah.
So like when I was traveling with my job, my wife had to buy an actual webcam to hook up to her computer because she got a laptop, but she didn't have the webcam, so she had to do it. So if you already got the Xbox One and you're away, you have your cell phone. Well, look, I got Skype on that. Let me call here. Boom,
that comes back to the advancements they're making with the Kinect. You know, they're upgrading the Kinect so far that it makes Skype visible. Why? Because the microphone works extremely well. The camera's better.
So again, it's good stuff.
Yeah, so that's my thing, is don't bitch about the TV integration and how far they're taking it, because it's kind of what people wanted.
Yeah. I don't like the fact they showed a lot of games I don't give two shits about, though.
Well, racing games are always a huge thing, so yeah, they show those. Every reveal is always
a fucking racing game. When it comes down to it, Forza is one of the...
Yeah.
Is Microsoft's biggest independently developed game. I mean...
FIFA's their biggest game.
Yeah. And then... What was it? Call of Duty Ghosts? Yeah.
Yeah, huge franchise.
Of course they're going to show that. Plus, to be honest with you, some of the shit that they were talking about, what they did
with
the game, I was actually kind of impressed with the whole, they actually used a real
the
game.
Face mapping, the face mapping, the dog.
No, that's really cool.
That
was
actually pretty cool to
see. It's cool to see technology advance like that.
Just because it's not in a game that I would typically play, that doesn't mean that it won't end up in a game that I would typically play.
So. And I don't, and we don't know whether it was gameplay or not, but...
No.
Some of the clips from in that Call of Duty presentation, I tell you what, the texturing looked pretty badass.
It's a lot of people.
Really cool.
A lot of stuff I read after I watch the reveal is a lot of people, and I'm not going to talk about media, I'm talking about people I know and people I talk to and stuff, was them just nitpicking to nitpick to find something to throw out. Because they're just like, oh, well, you know, that and this, and what are we left with? TV. We're left with TV.
But as a you got to remember that humans were going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's being short-sighted is what it is. Being
I don't really want them to charge too much. I'm looking at it, and it's only got 8 gigs of GDDR3. And right now, the PS4's got 8 gigs of GDDR5, which is considerable jump in when it comes to actual memory.
Yeah. And we'll see what they can do with it. That's the thing.
It's all about capability. But the thing is, people, you have to look at it this way. They have E3 yet to go over all your gaming needs whatsoever. This was a mass reveal. Let's show the people that we haven't entirely focused
on
this.
The box.
We haven't entirely focused on this stuff alone, but this is what we've concentrated on improving. The game part will take care of itself.
Or not even that. It's just like with the Wii U. With the Wii U, they only scratched the surface on their reveal as well as all the coverage as to what it actually can do. I had to find out the other crap on my own just fucking with
this
it.
This is part of Nintendo's bad marketing.
Yeah, that's their bad marketing, saying like, oh, hey, guess what? This thing can control everything on your TV from your Dish Network to your Cox. Whatever provider you have, you can use this to control it. You can sit there and find your favorite shows. You can actually categorize your favorite shows. It'll tell you recommendation of what's on. It'll tell you what live movies are on right now. And if you go to a live movie to watch it, and it's almost over, you can say, well, here, it'll tell you that it's also available on Netflix, and it's also available on Amazon Instant. So if you want to start it back over, just order it, boom. It streams directly to your... They didn't talk about any of that shit. No, plus, it's going to have DVR capability, where if you have a DVR hooked up to your TV, you can then control your DVR through the Wii U controller.
And I wouldn't be surprised that Microsoft doesn't end up doing the same thing with the larger hard drive.
And we'll find out once they go into E3. That's the thing is, this was basically, here, check this out. We're not going to show you everything. They probably just wanted to show a handful of games.
I'm still on the fence, though.
Yeah. They probably just wanted to show a handful of games and a handful of capability so that at E3, all the fanfare that they've gone to is not for naught. Sorry, it's for naught. That they're actually going to have an impact and really stand out. Because, I mean, if you go off and you show the movie 2 weeks before the premiere publicly everywhere, then you're not going to make any money at opening day at the box office. You just got to give a little bit of a sneak peek and then fully unleash.
I can do on
the
USA
full Monty.
Or whatever. 4 minutes. Here's your first 4 minutes.
Yeah. And that's what I can see happening is that, well, we already know that's what's going to happen at E3, is that that's where we're going to see all the new games that are coming out, the cool stuff to really kind of get us into it, as well as some more functionality, because Xbox is usually pretty good at covering its functionality at its, at E3, showing what it can do. So we'll get to see everything this box can do.
Listen, Microsoft, I know you listen.
Don't
go ahead and send us one next year for E3. You know you want to.
No, this year. Okay.
This year. Do it, Microsoft.
We don't need no gold plated
whatever. Just go ahead and just send us 4 tickets. Come on.
Cables, we'll pick them up. Don't worry about it.
So one thing I want to talk about was used games.
Yeah.
That's the when they started talking about DRM and things like that, like Sony's stocks went up. Well, mine did. Mine just squeezed really tightly because I was thinking to myself,
well, I'm not going to be able to play my used games. I'm not going to be able to loan Trent a game or Trent loan me a game without having to pay a fee.
Yeah.
And Earl found some information on that. Before I can even jump into that, I know that right now there's a like a big Twitter thing going on right now where a bunch of users are trying to petition Sony not to follow suit. But if you think about it, if Microsoft ends up doing this where there is a fee, then I can't seem gate developers saying, well, I developed it for Xbox and I developed for Sony, and I'm not going to charge money on one and not the other.
Yeah.
So there's that. But Earl, you had a story that you were going to bring up that kind of helped dispel some of that stuff.
Yeah. It was off of Wired. Let me get here. So it said that they sat
What's the summary of it?
Basically what it is this. So there was some confusion.
Rightly so.
So the reveal didn't. The reveal left confusion, they said, more than anything. So they decided to sit down and have a Q&A with the Microsoft VP Phil Harrison, and they were asking about different things. Like, one was the DRM was one of the big ones and stuff like that. They needed some clarification and stuff like that. And one of the big things they asked was, they said, let's write down. So they said, the people in Wired said, well, we have multiple Xboxes in our house. Are we going to, we trade a lot of games between it, so are we going to be able to do that? Kind of like what you said.
Trent. I can see all of us trading games too, just because, I mean, there might be four things out in the week. Exactly. We all get one, we want to trade it around, so we all get a chance to play it.
So what they said is, basically,
well, I remember you saying something along the lines that if you install it to somebody else's hard drive, you're deauthorized, but you don't have to pay a fee.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. They said that all the rules that apply now are going here. It's right here. So they said, so it says, what's going on with used games? What about borrowed games? There's a lot of speculation today. Can you clear some of that up? For example, multiple Xboxes in the house and trade games all the time. If we have multiple Xbox One consoles, can we still do that? And Harrison's, what they said he said was, absolutely, just like today, you can take the disc, install the bits in quotation mark on every machine you have in your home from, where did they go today? From the same disc. And anybody in household can play that game. You have exactly the same restrictions that you have today, as in only one person can play it at a time, because you only have one disc. But anybody in that house, well, the Xbox Live account, it goes for both the Xbox 360 and the Xbox One, and any user inside the house. So then they were like, well, here's another example. If I take my disc, like, at my house, and I come over here and say, hey, Trent, you want to play this game? I got it.
I have.
You know what I'm saying? Well, say you didn't have it.
No, I said I have been wanting to play
it. Okay, yeah. So then I let you play it on your machine. So he said, yes, you can. You can take your game around to your friend's house just as you would today. That's assuming you have the physical disc.
And friends.
Exactly, and friends. And what we're doing with the new live technology, that is, with the disc, is just a repository for the bits. So you can put the disc into the hard drive, you can play the game while you're there, and then you can go home, take the disc with you, but the bits are still on the drive. So the friend decides that he really likes the game and wants to buy it instantly, he doesn't have to download it again. It's already there. Once it's paid for, it's immediately there. So, like you were saying, if you want to demo it out, and then you decide you like it, then you can do so because you have the bits. The disc is just the placeholder.
I just go out and buy the disc because I'd rather have a hard copy in case something happens. I mean, but of course, I'm sure that they give you the license to the game once you pay for it, so if you need to re-download
So, in a way, it's not going the whole way of like Steam. Like, the downfall of PC gaming is, even though it's cheaper when it comes to the actual games, I can't trade a game over to Trent and say, hey, here you go. I couldn't deauthorize Metro off my account and say, Trent, you can play it now.
Yeah, once it's linked to you, it's linked to you.
So it said that, to follow that up, so Wired said, so the discs are just...
So the discs that will be sold will essentially be startup discs.
Yeah, and they the said you they,
and then the game isn't really connected to the disc anymore once it's been installed.
So they said basically you keep the disc if you want for the nostalgia reasons, But once it's on there, you don't ever have to have the disc in there again.
Then why even do the disc? Why not just do all
they said they're gonna. They said that they can give you digital too. They said so we could have physical or just digital. And he said yes when that time comes.
The only reason I think they would offer both, and I'm looking to see if Harrison really explained this or not. The thing is, so it's going to take a lot of server power for them to do complete digital downloads for everyone.
Well, they said they upped it from 30,000 to 300,000 servers.
Yeah.
Like,
they're preparing as best they can to cover that. But the thing is, they know that not every user out there has internet connection speeds or thresholds that are going to allow them to go and...
Well, you think
download
about
all these games digital.
There's still people that have things like satellite internet, which has a threshold of like 5 to 10 gigs per month.
Even AT&T DSL, you go out get the lowest UVerse DSL, it's like 30 gig a month threshold.
So my interest
that's not going to take you very far.
My interest is, if I decide that I want to pre-order a game through Xbox's live network, so I go on, say, Assassin's Creed, you know, 4, sorry, let's just say 5 is coming out, and it's going to be a digital release alongside of an actual, hard copy release. If I buy it digitally, will it pre-install it on my hard drive so that way when the game is finally released at midnight, I don't have to wait for the download?
You would think they would.
You
would hope they'd learn from fucking Steam.
You would hope they would, but at the same time, they're so tight-assed about security sometimes with people stealing shit and people, like, getting early access. Because some people...
You know they'd find a way to take that Xbox One and mod it so that...
Well, it depends on what they download. Now, back in the day, it's like, oh yeah, here's the whole game, it'll unlock, and that was just something that had a lock on it. Nowadays, it's the EXE file is completely different than what you need to actually launch the game. So when midnight actually comes around, it re-downloads that particular file, overwrites it, and now it's live and ready to go. There's different ways of doing it, and I'm just curious as to how Xbox would approach this, how Microsoft would approach this with... doing preloads, because the games are going to be substantially bigger, like two or three times bigger, so the 5, 6 gigs are now 15, 16 gigs. I'm going to want to preload that shit, because we have fast internet, but I don't want to sit around for hours after a game comes out at midnight waiting to play.
Yeah. Waiting for a Blu-ray release, it might be 30
gigs. I start
to
say, even with our internet connection speeds, because we've got the same, it still take you, if it's 15 gigs.
It's going to take you a few hours.
It's still going to take you 2 to 3 hours to download the thing.
Imagine, though, if it's congested because of tons of people.
Yeah.
Then you're going to get jack shit. It's like you're going to get jack shit for speeds at that point, so you're going to download a gig every, like, hour at that point. Now you're getting 15 hours from then, you could have played it, or you could have gone to the fucking store. Yeah. Bought it, 20 minutes, come back, install it.
But see, the hard disks are still the way to go. You could do that because that's where you're going to get the special stuff. Like when
you got the trophies. You got the trophy to show off.
Yeah, and you got the, like, if you get the black flag and they go exclusive poster only with the hard copy.
Well, he and I have the Assassin's Creed 3 bundle, which came with the flags and the statue. And I love that stuff. I really do. Yeah. And I prefer getting hard copies of games, but at the same time, it's just there's
because
some games
if the
I
cloud
would prefer,
crashes...
Well, there's just some games I would prefer to play on PC, so I skip it and I just grab this.
Well, this was like, I'm so used to that already with Steam. I mean, Steam's been doing it now for like almost 10 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at least with Steam, I'm so used to just downloading shit that that's kind of about half of what I do anymore.
And you know what, ultimately when it comes to some of the specials, if I digitally purchase a special edition of a game like Dead Space 4, and it's supposed to come with a statue or figurine or whatever, there's no reason they can't just ship me a box that has that special edition crap in it. And maybe, I bought it digitally, but you know what? They're going to go ahead and send me... I don't see them sending me a disc because the disc is going to have the authentication crap on it. It's a storage unit that has the original authentication on it. So what I see them do instead is they just send me basically a version of the box that comes with just the items I would have received with the game, but no copy of the game's already purchased.
And if they're going to do away with used, if that's what they decide to do, then they're going to have to stop making the physical copies. They're going to have to do it as digital only because you can't trade digital. You know what I'm saying? So they'd have
but what
to
if you
that
could?
Way.
What if you could actually trade digital? There is a way to do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I mean, if that's what Microsoft really wants to do is say,
death to the used games.
They want to make as much money as
they'll can. They'll say no more physical. We're only going to make it available on the Xbox Marketplace.
Well, they're talking about. I looked at some other things. There were some things they were talking about fees as high. And I was looking at a UK source, and they're talking about a fee as high as £35, which US dollars is about $54. So, I mean, £34 is a substantial, or, you know, $54 is a substantial amount for a used game.
Oh, yeah.
Just for talking about, to play it?
Yeah. And wow. That's what I'm saying. So, and they're talking about the retailer only gets 10% of that.
Yeah.
So they get, like, $5.50.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that'll kill the used retail market. You think about all the used game stores, like, the local ones here, like Vintage Stock, and then you got GameStop, and then you had that other game store, those other
Exchange.
Game Exchange.
Yeah.
Completely kill Game Exchange.
They'll be able to stay alive if Nintendo or another company does.
Well, I remember GameStop started doing movies for a while. They don't do that anymore. Nope. They don't carry movies at all anymore. Vintage Stock carries movies, music, comics, action
figures. Yeah, Vintage Stock will survive. They'll be all right.
Yeah.
Because, and also, they're more about the retro gaming. If you go in there, the majority probably have.
So what are they going to do? Are they going to? If that were to happen, you would want to go because they have big blowout sales.
GameStop, actually, if I remember... I was reading a thing about their sales after the announcement of Xbox One. Their stock. Their stock is still 86% higher than it was last year.
Yeah.
They took a little bit. It's like a 15% dip or something. Mm-hmm. It's nothing really major. They're still doing good.
Yeah.
And that's because, you know what? You get rid of, you know, no matter what's coming out, 360 and PlayStation 3 and Wii U are what's still going right now.
Yeah.
So they're still making money one way or the other. Plus DS handhelds, which are extremely fucking popular, and a lot of their money comes
that's more
from
DS is out there than
any
other console.
The only thing they're trying to find out that they're trying to work through, and I don't blame them at all. I don't begrudge them this. They're just trying to find a way to get themselves and the developers a little slice of the pie. I don't blame them. They just need to do it properly and make sure that it's a small enough slice of the pie that the retailers can still survive.
Well, there is another way of doing it, whereas if I decide to take a game and get rid of it and trade it in, whenever I trade in, the retailer I trade into has to pay a reactivation fee of $15, which is then mark up into the price that they turn around and sell it for. So they're paying for to reactivate it, because it's no longer in my library. They add that $15 into the price of what they're going to be selling it for, so they pay $15 to reactivate it, and on top of that, they sell it for $35.
Yeah, still make $20.
They make their $20 off the game, and Microsoft gets $15 as well for the reactivation, plus a slice of whatever it is they actually do sell it for. So that Microsoft make $20, GameStop makes $15.
It's all about corporate greed.
That's a way that it can be done. It's just getting the retailer to agree to pay a reactivation fee, which, to be honest with you, that's not too unreasonable to say,
no,
hey,
it's
you
not.
Know, just pay us.
You know, and it's something that with this last gen, that a lot of the developers have been wanting a slice of that pie. And let's face it, there are a lot of games out there, a lot of really good games that get knocked down low in price because the initial sales aren't very good. You know, it's a way for the developers to still make money on those smaller games, and that's all right with me.
So, anybody think of a question?
You had to ask.
He asked it earlier.
I did.
Yeah, we forgot it at break again.
Well,
bad.
I got an easy one. We just continue this discussion on...
That's what I was going to do, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, what are you guys' thoughts? I mean, we could just post that as our question, see what our fans think.
I'm good.
Question of the week. Will Microsoft... Will E3... Microsoft send us tickets to E3, I'm just saying. Come on, Microsoft. Just send us tickets.
No, we've been invited before.
We just can't afford to fly out.
That's what I'm
LA.
Saying. Microsoft needs to go ahead and just send us tickets so we can get us out there for flying. Come on, we're unbiased.
We get invited. We just don't go because it's usually at a really bad time of the year.
Yeah.
It's in the June. It's just not that good.
That's why I said next year, so you can save up. You'll have the money.
We always talk about saving up. It's just a bad time of the year.
Yeah.
So.
So, anyways. Yeah, just tell us what you guys think. What are you guys' thoughts on the Xbox One? Leave it open. That way you guys can post whatever answers you want. Also, too, I mean, don't feel bad about sending us random questions at teabag@tiltcast.com. So if you wanted to just give us a random question, have us give us a discussion topic, that's fine, too.
Yeah.
I do want to mention we do have very little in the way of games coming out in this next coming week, mm-hmm. which kind of sucks, but,
you
know.
It's a lull.
It is a lull, because
we can catch up on games that you haven't beat yet.
I'm going to play a shitload of Dota, so if you need to play some Dota, find me on my gamertag Nostalgia on Steam. But we got Scrolls coming out on beta on June 3rd.
Yay.
Remember
Rusty
Me
should be tied into that.
Remember Me should be out June 4th. Coming out on 360, PS3, and PC. You got Marvel Heroes, the online massively multiplayer game, coming out on June 4th. Oregon Skate Trail, the Director's Cut. And I think that's pretty much it. And then Last of Us coming out the week after that. This week, we didn't really have much in the way of games coming out, which is why I didn't talk about much in the way of this week, because I didn't really see anything. With that, do we have anything else, Trent?
Gauntlet.
Gauntlet this week,
yep.
Yes.
Gauntlet, Saturday night.
10 p.m.
Central Time.
Left 4 Dead 2, because
yep.
nobody said the name
yep.
after
yep.
they just listed all the other
right.
information.
Well, we're just kind of going in a circle
yeah,
here. I'll give a bit of information.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you guys ended. Yeah. No,
the Great Circle.
Left 4 Dead.
Great Circle.
Yeah. Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah. Left 4 Dead 2.
Still not a circle.
Yeah.
It's kind of a square.
We might have to break it up either into four on other four verses, which I'm fine with doing a flesh orgy, I don't care, or just break it into two teams. Because yeah, I'm in the mood for some DLC stuff, and I know he's not going to have any. I don't know if
I've
got any.
Some of it, not all of it,
and I don't want to force you to buy any. And then you and I do have some of it, so I mean
we
can swap around.
I could be leading a match, and you could lead a match.
Well, I mean, well, you and I both have all the DLC, so I mean, like I'm saying, so we can just move around, because I wouldn't mind playing with Jason,
yeah.
I wouldn't mind playing with Earl
heard
as
that,
well.
Ooh, I love
so,
when you play with me.
We just need to see how many people we get showing up. Left 4 Dead's a big time. We like playing Left 4 Dead, and we'll probably get Ian in there, hopefully, if his brick doesn't die out again. And maybe Hyper. Maybe Hyper and his kid.
Yeah.
Right?
His kid loves Left 4 Dead.
Nice. Well, we have two discs at home, so as long as...
you and Rusty jump on?
No, it'll probably be me and the wife. Rusty
nice.
Doesn't enjoy Left 4 Dead too much.
See, I gotta go buy another copy because I traded in for Resident Evil 6, and
yeah.
I have your copy in my room, so I
gotta
show that back too.
So with that, we got some friends of the show. Friends of the show being... Or actually, find us on Facebook.com/Tiltcast, Tiltcast.com. Search Twitter, or I'm sorry, Stitcher, and...
Go Stitcher.
And iTunes, when we get more ratings, which I thank you guys for that.
Yeah.
Also, Tiltcast.com, dbag at Tiltcast.com, Facebook.com/Tiltcast, Twitter.com/Tiltcast. Find friends of the show, CarouselPodcast.com, For the Love of Gaming, LSportsPodcast.com, BMFcast.com, NoQuarters.net, and TVGP.tv. They do good things. So,
boom. Hold on.
Last but not least...
What?
I want to thank the military service on Memorial Day.
Yeah!
That's right. You need to thank them for all they do.
So,
we got a guy here that was in it.
That's true.
And then everyone that listens. I know Casey listens. He's part of the military. So, thank you all.
Thanks for remembering that.
You're very welcome. It's Memorial Day.
Thanks for remembering.
Especially those still currently serving.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that, we will see you guys next week. And we'll, of course, see you guys at Gauntlet.
Woo-woo!
Yup. And that's it.
No funny title.